much about. So easy. You gotta
put it in perspective. The song is gorgeous, and at the same time, it gives me the creeps. So here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We want funk. Give up the funk. Now we want funk. Give up the funk.
Hey, remember when my boss called you Rob Durden for about 3 hours straight?
Love that. I love that so much. I love it so much. I love the fact that I just didn't say anything and then it just kept riding and riding. Like, I just love it.
You made the whole thing gold. It could have been just like one little slip up, but you made it a legendary moment.
I just love, I'm glad that I have that opportunity to share that with those guys because it is funny.
How is that funny?
You're going to have to take that f***ing attitude out the door right now, you hear me? We don't play that f***ing in here.
And now...
I think it's really cool you hired Kevin.
Thanks.
Our feature presentation.
How dare you? As if it wasn't deserved.
Well, we have to check off that one box, you know.
Yeah.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
For retard?
Why not?
A retard? How did they say it in the Hangover?
Retard.
Retard.
Retard. Retard.
Yeah. Why not pick up the phone and give us a call for Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew, Wednesday edition on any topic, 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number. If you can hear the show, you can be on the show. Give us a call, get on the air, and get a prize. Before we get to that, I have a very important email that just came in within the last couple of hours or so from a faithful listener named Emma. Okay. Mike and I started to discuss this right before the introduction began, and we did not finish. And I think this, now that I think about it, I think this is a worthy on-air discussion.
Okay.
Here's her letter. Dear Kevin and Bean, I am an Asian-American female.
Okay.
And I'm tired of hearing about the yellow fever. Every time I date outside of Asian, I can't help but feel the paranoia that doing so fulfills a freakish Asian fetish for my male partners. It's weird, objectifying, and just plain creepy. What's up with the yellow fever creepsters? Again.
Really?
Emma. Like Psycho Mike?
But couldn't you have bigger problems, which would be that they hate you based on that rather than love you?
Well, yeah, it's like having a lot of money. You just don't understand. You don't know if you really get people's motivation.
But here's the thing that I don't get, and I think this is different than the money issue, is that it's just a characteristic that turns some people on.
It's like being saying, a blonde?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like saying, I don't want to date guys that like blondes because I'm blonde and I'm satisfying them. I'm making them happy. I'm, you know, making them glad to be dating me. It doesn't make any sense to me. If that's somebody's type... then that seems like it's all good, right?
Yeah, how's that a negative? That's weird.
That's a good point. I don't understand. So, I mean, and plus if she's dating a guy, she obviously has enough interest in him to want to spend time with him. You would think that just as he would like to bring attractive things into the relationship, so would she. Instead of, oh, I don't want you to get any enjoyment out of this. I want to go out with you because I think you're tall or good looking or athletic or have a great personality or something. I'm attracted to all those things about you, but God forbid you like anything about me.
But I want you to be miserable. That way I know you're here for me.
Yeah.
I hope you like redheaded fat chicks, fat tiny Asians, because that way you'll be sad. Well, I think we may need to get Emma, if that's her real name, and get her on the show. It doesn't sound like an Asian name to me. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
And then we'll check her papers while we're at it. Who's with me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm taking her to Phoenix on a date.
Let's start the show with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
Well, it's called Journeys. You can get lots of good stuff there, and you can get $25 worth of free good stuff there because we're giving you a gift card. In Southern California, find Journeys at Westminster and South Coast Plaza. That's your prize for being on the air for Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew. 1-800-520-1067. Call on any topic, particularly if you happen to be Asian.
Sure. Let's begin with Morgan. Hi, Morgan.
How's it going?
What to do?
Just driving to work, Sunday, I was going out to the Glen Helen races, and I had a rental car. I guess it's a bad idea.
Why is that?
Uh-oh.
I was driving.
Oh, dude.
What makes you think you can say that on the radio? Right.
Keep going.
Seriously.
We freaking
yes.
jumped at about 90 miles an hour, blew the oil pan out, and the noticed it was leaking some oil, so I dropped my friend off, and driving home, the car caught on fire.
Oh, wow. Have you already returned it to the rental car place?
Returned it to the impound.
Okay. Did you buy that that insurance that always seems like a ripoff?
It's AAA insurance. I actually made the claim yesterday to Enterprise. They're pretty pissed off, and actually asked them if they can give me another rental car. They just laughed at me.
Yeah.
I always wondered what that conversation is like where you call the rental car company and go, hey, remember that car I took out of here on Tuesday?
I did.
Yeah.
That.
It's gone. Did you?
Remember, yeah.
The one in the desert?
When I flipped my car in the desert, I had to draw them a map. Here's where you go. You go 100 miles this way, and it's about 30 yards off the freeway upside down. Good luck with that.
Well, I can get why they'd be annoyed with you. They got to go hunt it down. But this guy, the car caught on fire.
Right.
Why are they mad at him? It's not their car.
Well, I think their hope, Lisa, is that everybody brings back the car that they're rented.
Oh, yeah, that's why they were upset. That's the point of insurance. I mean, he didn't light it on fire.
Did you have insurance? And did you, in fact, light it on fire?
No, I did not light it on fire.
Well, he sounds like the kind of guy who would, I got to be honest.
He sounds like the kind of guy that doesn't have insurance.
So you have AAA, so you don't have to pay the extra whatever the rental company wants for insurance.
There was a prior to it, though. A couple of months back, I bought
It's impossible to get an answer to that question out of him.
And I also can't take another story from you, sir. Okay. I'm sorry, but thank you. Thank you, anyway. All right, I'm having some screen difficulties here. Do we have somebody else we can go to?
Let's go to Sergio. Hi, Sergio.
What it do, nephew? This is Sergio, yes.
Yeah, what it do?
What it do? Labor Day Dodger game. Confused. I was actually at the game. I was a little drunk, but they said that they won on a bulk. I looked up on the internet and I still can't find it.
Yeah.
I lost $10 for that.
Did you spell it B-U-L-K?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's not right. That's right. I believe it's B-A-L-K.
Yeah.
Yes. It's B-A-L-K, and it's a mistake the pitcher makes where he's supposed to go toward home plate and then he doesn't and he goes someplace else and then you get to walk.
Oh, come on.
This is...
Yeah, it's B-A-L-K.
We were going to make fun of Miss Cleo for misspelling it, but it turns out you said bulk.
Yeah.
Well, that's hilarious.
So you
went... I'm sorry.
So what did you do? You bet somebody at the game what it was, and you looked up B-U-L-K and couldn't find it?
Yeah, because we're pretty drunk, so the dude in back of me is like, oh, bulk. I'm like, I never heard of that. It's fake, dude.
Oh, my God.
It's fake.
Now, let me ask you this.
That's what it is.
Are you a baseball fan, or do you just go to Dodger Stadium to get in fights and drink?
No, I'm a baseball fan, and I actually teach my nephew's and my godson's t-ball team.
Then I am shocked that you have never seen balking, because it happens, I don't know, at least once a week in the major league somewhere.
Well, I'm just a retard, I guess, because I don't know. I
lost you are a retard, first of all.
All right.
Sergio's
very
awesome.
Funny. Well,
Sergio is awesome.
I like him. And by the way, thank you very much for the call, Sergio. We appreciate it. Sorry you lost the bet. And for folks who don't know, it's the ultimate embarrassment for a team to balk in a run, first of all, and worse, to balk in the winning run.
Yeah.
I mean, at least throw the ball properly and give the batter an opportunity to hit it so you can get it out. At least you got a chance to get it out. If the pitcher balks, there's nothing the team can do to stop from losing.
Those of you that aren't baseball fans, there are certain things with the pitcher's feet that says he has to throw it to home plate. He can't stop and then throw it to first or second and try and pick somebody off. And when he's supposed to go to home plate and he doesn't, it's called a balk, and the guy automatically walks if the bases are loaded.
Gotcha.
That scores a run. That's embarrassing.
Bulk. It's a bulk.
I looked up bulk. I couldn't find it. All right. Let's go to Marilyn. What an interesting story this is. Hey, Marilyn.
Hello. Hey, Sergio, I'm a girl and I know what balk is.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've at least heard of it.
Woo, Sergio, you rule.
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Okay, how did it take Tipper Gore 40 years to figure out that Al is a boar?
Well,
he's not a gore, he's a bore.
Maybe he's boring enough that she was just able to just go on with life without, you know, making the move that she needed to make, because he's so nothing.
And he's away from home a lot. So
right, he travels a lot.
Yeah.
Talking about his global warming that he started.
No affairs involved because everybody knows he's a bore.
No.
Poor Al.
I don't know anything about... I don't know anything beyond what the rest of us know from watching him on TV. Of course, he's very boring in person. But I have heard, and maybe Lisa, you've heard the same thing, that people who know him personally say he's chatty and charming and funny and delightful. He's got all this personality that somehow he just, I don't know, just closes masks. Up when he gets in front of a microphone.
He masks it very well.
He really does hide it.
Yeah, he does.
I saw him at one of those dinners that they do with the press, you know, when he was vice president. He was funny, charming.
Sometimes he brings that out.
I mean, and he was acting very natural, and I thought, wow, that is a whole side of him I've never seen.
Well, when he started getting funny after he lost that 2000 election, and he would go on talk shows and just kill, so many people were watching at home going, where was some of that on the campaign trail instead of the robot that we didn't vote for?
Yeah.
Why is he slaying us now?
Yeah,
I know. Exactly. It's sad.
All right. Excellent call and very very sad news, but who knows what goes on in someone else's marriage. I mean, there may be some very good reasons, and they say, by the way, Kevin, they're going to stay best friends, and it is amicable.
That's great news.
Because that's how all divorced people are that are celebrities.
That is great news.
So hopefully that's
you say one more thing about the polar ice caps, I swear to God, that'll be
That could have been it, exactly. All right, excellent calls today, peeps. Thanks very much.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
We do not want this sickness. This is sick, and it's therefore deviant. We do not want it.
Oh, sad.
When do we get to play that video?
Or we don't ever.
Come on.
Ever. Ever.
Come on. That's the best video ever.
But we can't.
Where's he from? Ghana?
Uganda.
Uganda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the best.
They're knocking it out in Uganda, let me tell you.
It's a guy.
No, don't even.
I can say what it's about.
No, you can't.
He's describing that they don't want to ever allow homosexuality because of the practices that go on. And then he describes in great detail the practices that go on. And I wasn't aware of that.
Well, they're because there are specific don't suck me into this conversation. There are specific practices that are completely aberrant to gays and straights alike.
Right.
The practices that he's describing, maybe there's two guys on earth that are doing. But it's certainly not what homosexuality is all about. And believe me, I know. I mean, from what I understand, it's not at all what it's about at all. Right. So anyway, don't do any kind of Google searching on Ugandan or poo.
I'm sorry, what?
I said
Ugandan was the first word in the search.
Let's talk about what's going on in today's Kevin and Bean
Show. What was the second word?
I said, who's coming up on the show today?
When you search in Google, you search Ugandan, and then what? What was that other word?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never seen the video. I don't know anything about the video, and I certainly am not going to suggest anybody goes to look at it.
On an unrelated topic, the word is poo. All right, now, Omar has a Glee cap today.
Yes, he does.
I don't know if you saw Glee last night, if you're a fan of it or not. He has an unnatural cartoon hatred of it, so we've decided he needs to be our correspondent. He needs to watch it each week. And Bean mentioned, I think yesterday, or maybe last week, I don't even remember, but when we were talking about Glee, that now it's hard for me to watch the show without hearing Omar in my head
much wrecking it.
Not wrecking it for me.
I'm still okay with it.
I like the show, but I used to just be able to forgive all of the bizarre stuff that they do on that show that's really dumb and dorky and annoying.
But now you hear it and you go, oh, he's right. Omar's right.
Yeah, he shined a spotlight onto how bad that show is. I'm still going to watch it. But, yeah, he's definitely ruined Glee for me.
We're going to talk about celebrity impersonators.
Oh, yeah.
Remember yesterday we talked to a woman who said she saw Bono at the Renaissance Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And after our meeting yesterday, we actually got a call from the guy who was the Bono impersonator.
Wow, fake Bono calls.
Yeah. So we're going to try and talk to him today. Plus, we have Joe Rogan on the program today talking about UFC 114.
Yeah,
is it? Yeah. This last weekend,
mm-hmm.
the Rampage Jackson fight was one of them. The other one was Fatty Fat Fat against Strongy Strong Strong. And Strongy Strong Strong beat the living hell out of Fatty Fat Fat for 2.5 rounds.
And then?
And then Fatty Fat Fat threw one punch, and it ended. And Joe Rogan said he'd never seen anything like it in 1,000 fights.
Wow.
It was the most ridiculous comeback ever. So we're going to talk to him about that. We have the story about Daniel Craig making out with someone in the parking lot.
What?
Outside. Ugandan guy, too. It was weird.
A dude making out with a dude outside of a club.
Hmm.
Yeah. We have Roger Barr, who is a creator of a video game called The Human Centipede.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
There it is.
Yes, and yes.
That's going to be good. We have a new feature called Bean Loves Death. That's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do love death.
We're going to tell you about thinning out the herd with vodka eyeballing. We're going to talk about that because that's spectacular in the 6 o'clock hour. I don't know if you've heard of it, but
wow!
If there's a different orifice that you can put alcohol into, people are doing it. In this particular case, it's the eyeball. And those people just need to, we just need to let them go. Just let them do whatever they want to do. They're never going to make anything of themselves anyway.
I agree.
So we're going to talk to Dr. Mo about that. And we've got your tickets for Weenie Roast and backstage passes. Coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman with our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Hey, Pete Baxter. How you doing?
Ralph's wearing his jersey today.
Forgive my enthusiasm.
What's that?
He's pouty.
I said, forgive my enthusiasm.
I forgive it. I don't appreciate it, but I forgive it. I am rocking the jersey today. Big game. Big game this afternoon.
You bet. I got an email from a Kevin Bean listener online in Philadelphia who said that in many ways this is one of the biggest Flyers games in their history.
Absolutely.
Because they got no draft picks next year. Is that true?
Yes.
It's win it or say goodbye to the dream.
they did a lot of wheeling and dealing in the offseason to get Chris Pronger and a couple other players, and so they don't have any picks. But you know what? The draft is not as important in the NHL as it is in a lot of other sports. You know, the NBA, the NFL, obviously, very important. Draft, occasionally a player will come out of the draft, like when they got Mike Richards, this kid who's the captain for the Flyers. He was a draft pick, but he was an exceptional player. He was known to be an up-and-comer out of junior hockey, so everybody was sort of vying for his skills. But usually, most of the important trades are made from free agency and that kind of stuff. So, not that important, but it would be nice to
cash in
on that Pronger deal.
Sure.
He's so good, by the way.
He's Pronger. A monster.
He is.
He played with the Ducks when they won the Cup.
He sure did. So, big game this afternoon. Looking forward to that. Congratulations to Jane Lynch of Glee. She and her partner, Laura Embry, who is a psychologist, got married in Sunderland, Massachusetts, over the weekend. Star Magazine reports the pair decided to tie the knot in Massachusetts because that's where they can.
Because they could.
They live here in California, but it's not so much an option here. Yeah. I thought that was funny. It's like, they decided to get married there because it's legal. Well, yeah, I guess that would be a good reason to go then, wouldn't it?
Now, when they come back here, is it still looked on as legal?
No.
How does that work?
I do not believe it is. I don't believe, because it's a state-by-state issue, I do not believe the marriages in one state are necessarily honored in other states because it's not a federal thing.
That's weird.
What's really weird is that when it was legal here and you got married here, it was recognized and is still recognized here.
Even
if you got
now,
married then.
Even now they've turned
But now you can't.
But now you can't. And if you come from another state, it isn't.
If you got in under the wire, then you're okay.
It's kind of like catching a fish in season. As long as you're allowed to during those months catch it, but catch one a day after, all of a sudden, it's illegal.
Right.
Same deal with the marriage.
You got to throw it back, in fact. If you got married after the date, you have to throw your spouse back.
Throw them back. That's right. Off a balcony or something, right.
Kevin.
Yes.
The celebrities are saving lives.
Oh, always. Again. Thank God for them. No lives would be saved if they weren't for celebrities.
This time it's Brody Jenner.
Right. Oh, no.
I hardly call him a celebrity. I guess maybe I'm overstating the fact, but a guy who you've heard of saved a life. And it was his very own girlfriend, Avril Lavigne. Apparently, according to Star Magazine, they were surfing in Malibu. She was taking lessons. She's not a surfer. I believe she's a Canadian.
Okay.
Right? So probably not a lot of surf
up
there.
Also a midget.
She's not a big girl.
Mm-mm.
She was surfing recently, taking a lesson, and she got the wind knocked out of her by her board. But Brody was in the waves, grabbed her, dragged her out, saved her life.
All right.
Way to go, Brody.
Okay.
Your dad would be so pleased. All-American hero, Bruce Jenner. Speaking of saving lives and fighting crime, Guy Ritchie apparently foiled burglars in his own home last Sunday.
That I believe.
He was coming home and there was a burglar trying to steal memorabilia, amongst other things, from his home in Britain. So he jumped into gear and apprehended the man until police arrived and took the thief into custody.
Wow, citizen's arrest?
Yeah.
Awesome.
How about that?
I love that.
I didn't know he had it in him.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
But after all that time with Donna, I guess he learned how to defend himself, so that makes sense. Nicholson's still the man, right?
Jack Nicholson?
Got the Lakers game coming up tomorrow night.
Yep.
Jack will be there in force. He is 73 years old and still rocks it. Some guys don't maintain their cool as they get older. You know, most don't, I would have to say. Yeah. But he is a guy who seems to be ageless. Recently, he made a little phone call to a woman he would like to meet, as I'm sure Jack is wont to do from time to time. That woman was Jessica Simpson.
What?
Invited her over to have dinner at his Beverly Hills home. Jessica says she has no idea how he got her number, but she declined his offer. You should be so lucky, Jessica Simpson.
No kidding.
as to have the honor of having Jack Nicholson use and degrade you the way you should be used and degraded.
Not dinner conversation no. He's after with Jessica.
Giant size cans.
Great story Minnie Driver tells when she was in England as a teen. I guess she was 19 or whatever she was, and she was in a bar in London, and Nicholson was there filming something, and she was leaning up against the bar, and he came up to her and introduced himself, and she said, "Would you like to dance?" And he went, "You're going to have to pick another verb." I don't think Jack spends a lot of time with the small talk or the accoutrement of
the wooing
of romance.
No, he does not.
I do love that he can pick up the phone and call anyone and at least, you know, make an offer that
will be considered. Hello, Jessica. Yeah, I've got some chicken of the sea over here. Thought maybe you'd like to join me for a little tuna. It is tuna, after all. Mike, the situation Sorrento.
Yes.
Back in the news. Apparently, he was partying this past weekend at the Aztec Ocean Resort in Seaside Heights, New Jersey, where, of course, the first season of Jersey Shore was filmed. He was dancing on a balcony, and everybody was gathered around because he's one of the Jersey Shore kids.
Sure.
He took off his shirt and showed those abs. Authorities had to be called in to get the crowd under control.
What?
When he showed his abs off. 3,000 people went crazy, according to TMZ.com. Authorities had to be brought in to quell the ab riot.
my new
device. You can see late night infomercials. You can see my new fitness device I've created. The ab
but
riot.
Look, it's a guy standing on a balcony with his shirt off. Right? How is that a riot?
But have you seen those abs?
It's a New Jersey.
Apparently
beat.
Not.
Oh, those abs!
Wow, there must be something.
Oh, those abs!
Riot causing abs.
Is it too early to start thinking about Christmas?
Yes.
What you're going to buy for your friends and family?
Very.
Well, you might want to know the Lighter Side catalog, which is an online catalog, has just released their 1/6 scale figure of Michael Jackson. Apparently inspired by the memorial show that will be happening later this month, they are releasing a new Michael Jackson action figure. It's 12 inches tall. He comes dressed in his red leather Thriller costume, but he is provided with two different costumes, two pairs of socks and shoes, 5 sets of interchangeable hands.
What?
2 interchangeable heads, and 407 interchangeable noses. So you get all that for just $200.
How about that?
$200. A mere bag of shells, I say. Pick it up. Buy one today. Makes a great stocking stuffer.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Banging like it's Charlie Watts. Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones. One of the most underrated rock drummers in the history of the genre, in my opinion.
But he has had time to make his impact and put it out there. And
he is a ball of energy, I'll tell you. He is Mr. Personality behind the kit. I think maybe that's why he doesn't get his just desserts.
Looks like he's on meth sometimes. It's really just crazy.
You could get a wind-up Charlie Watts robot behind the kit, and no one would be able to tell the difference. He is not Mr. Charm. Actor Dennis Haysbert, who, of course, played the president on 24, famously.
Sure.
Does all those Allstate commercials.
Mm-hmm. He's on The Unit for 4 seasons.
I don't know about your personal life, Kevin, but if you and Dennis got along, that's all between you two. He is 56 years old today. Comedian Wayne Brady is 38 years old today. Be Real of Cypress Hill is 40 years old. Wentworth Miller, star of the departed Prison Break TV program, is 38 years old. Zachary Quinto.
Yeah.
Siler from Heroes and, of course, Spock from the reincarnation of Star Trek. He is 33 years old today. Actor Justin Long is 32. Fabrizio Moretti of The Strokes celebrates his 30th birthday. And Nikki Cox, not only a talented actress in her own right, but the wife of our buddy Jay Moore. She is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You understand, Psycho Mike, that he walked up to a dude with a samurai sword and just started hacking away, killed one guy, injured another guy, and got away. The samurai sword. That's not the way you want to go, and it's also not the way you want to kill. I have a lot of problems with this story.
Bean is not the same as you and I. He's very different. And there's something about human death that he revels in. Bean loves it.
He's fascinated by it.
It's not even fascinated as much as it is joy. He's joy. It's the only thing that truly makes him happy.
The weirder the situation, the happier he is.
First of all, the situation is still alive, so that's a bad
with
bad
great
example.
Abs, I hear.
Second of all,
you love it. You love it.
I do enjoy hearing about it because, look, hear my whole thing.
Do you have a painting of the rat that brought the plague on your wall at the home?
You can't get more death than that.
You have that?
How many people died of the bubonic plague?
I actually do have that.
That's his hero. That rat is his hero because it involved.
That rat was the bomb.
That rat killed more humans than any other rat in history.
That rat said, "Think I won't?" No, I do enjoy death, and that's why Kevin thought it might be a good idea to debut a new feature today here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams, hooray. There's something wrong in his head.
Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Thank you, Omar. I'd like to introduce him to death after hearing that intro. All right, here's the thing. We get so many great stories, and what's happening is that I try to tell these stories to the guys in the studio off the air, and they will never let me because they never want to hear about the awesome death stories.
Well, it's right? Just that those are the only kind you tell. You don't mix them up with something great.
Right.
But shouldn't there be room on the Kevin and Bean Show for this story? Headline, American cage fighter rips out still beating heart of training partner after fearing he was possessed by the devil.
What?
A story that deserves to be on the air?
Yes, for the crazy factor.
Wow.
But not for the let's all laugh at the guy who's dead with no heart.
Jared Wyatt is his name. Mike, I had not heard of this cage fighter. I don't know if he's up and coming or new or amateur or what. Do you know, have you heard of this guy before?
I had never heard of him, but when I read this story, he was my new hero.
Yeah, he's sure. He's
Mike loves death too, by the way, just a little less.
I don't know if I love death as much as Bean, but not I gotta agree, the guy who rips out the still beating heart's pretty sweet.
I mean, that's the five-finger death punch. I mean, that's legendary, yeah. Right? Yeah. The young man, the victim, was named Taylor Powell. His tongue was also ripped out, most of his face, and his still-beating heart. Police found the 26-year-old Wyatt standing naked over his friend's body with parts including an eyeball strewn around a blood-splattered room in Klamath, California. Here's the explanation. Wyatt allegedly told police that he had drunk a cup of tea spiked with hallucinogenic mushrooms, and he became convinced that Powell was possessed by the devil.
Stop doing what you're doing.
I mean, I see that, and I go, you got to respect, right? You got
to. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Yes, he does.
The scenario was unique as far as doctors concerned. This story last week from New York. A man got a transplanted kidney from a woman who had uterine cancer and didn't know it. He died from it as a result of a transplant with uterine cancer in it. What about that? Guys.
Wait. I just want to know what you expect when you say, what about that? Are you expecting us to go, wow, that's crazy?
Well, it's such a raw deal for a guy who had kidney problems his whole life. He was 37 years old.
Right.
He got a transplant, and they didn't know that the woman he got the transplant from, who had died in a car accident, didn't know that she had cancer.
Right.
So then they do the autopsy on the woman, find out she had cancer. They go back to the guy who's got her kidney and say, the woman that we got your kidney from, she has uterine cancer. The doctor said, I think you'll be okay, though. It's pretty rare that something like that would transfer from patient to patient. 6 months later, dude drops dead. He's gone.
Fail. So,
he's so happy that he gets this new kidney.
Yeah.
So the start of a new life. He's only 37 years old. He's got 50 years ahead of him.
Right.
Boom, but 6 months later, drops dead.
But with the rest of us, when he gets the kidney, that's the high point of the story.
Right.
The part where he dies is a bummer.
Right. Not for Bean.
No, not for Bean. For Bean, that's just the setup. And then the punchline is that he died.
That is the cherry on top.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
And finally, a Foxconn technology worker tried to kill himself Thursday, becoming the 13th person to commit suicide or attempt to do so in the computer company in China that makes the iPhone. 13 people have already committed suicide or tried to working at that factory in the past few months. What's up with that?
Miserable
job.
Enough pay, way too many hours, way too much pressure.
They have to work 17 hours a day for two pennies.
Yeah. I heard they actually put nets up. Give him a raise. Let's try Nets.
Nets.
That's exactly what they did. The Foxconn chairman took reporters on a tour last week, showed that they had installed a hotline center for depressed employees. They have put a swimming pool in to try to improve morale. They have also included nets so that because several of these people have committed suicide have done so on the premises by jumping off buildings. They've also divided the employees into 50-member groups, and members are asked to watch for signs of emotional trouble within the group. So this guy was 23, by the way, who jumped off a building.
Wow, that's a bummer.
23 years old. But on the bright side, iPhones are pretty cool. It's sort of worth it.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
There's your feature. God. Bean has, if we would let him, he has a backlog of 750 more stories of death.
We could do the whole show on it.
We could. He's a collector. He's a collector of death. So tune in next time for our new feature.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves.
As you know by now, the Weenie Roast is this Saturday. Very excited. It's going to be about 125, 130 degrees on Saturday, I understand, at the concert. That'll be good times for everybody. Lots of great...
Bean's been complaining about the heat now for a week already.
I'm just saying it's going to be warm. That's my point.
All right.
But it's going to be worth it because you're going to see Stone Temple Pilots and Hole and Deftones and all these great bands we've been telling you about. If you want to go, of course, it's completely sold out. You can win tickets and backstage passes right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for contestants. We're playing, ladies and gentlemen, I think you'll be very excited by this news, guys. Another edition of Motorboat Cleo. Yeah! Come on!
Went so well last time. We decided we needed to.
Motorboat Cleo. So you'll need to just be smart. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We got to tell you about something that is not for you if you're smart. It's called vodka eyeballing.
Ugh.
And it is Ralph always says we need to just thin the herd. There are certain people who aren't going to make anything of themselves. And I would say this group does not need to be discouraged.
It's a pretty good guess that these people aren't going to be Nobel Prize winners later.
I would say let's just let this go on and everything will work itself out. Here's a little bit of news audio about this.
Eyeballs on your eyeballs. It's an eye-opening new fad. Oh, so-called eyeballers claim it's an instant high, the splash of alcohol giving them a buzz, literally, in the blink of an eye. But it's also painful and dangerous.
My parents will be proud.
Well, Mom and Dad, this is your boy. On YouTube, now on TV, shooting vodka in his eye.
Mostly young people doing this one. They are pouring vodka into their eyes for fun.
Apparently, when you put alcohol in your eyes, it gets to your system faster, so you get drunk faster. And I'm sure it also burns the shit out of your eye.
Well, that's our problem with it, is that it doesn't seem smart. And I was not aware, even when we were talking about butt chugging, that you can't drink alcohol anymore. I didn't know that it was illegal to take it in through your mouth.
Yeah, why the need for speed? This is why do you need to be drunk instantly?
That is a great question. And the eyeball, it just seems like eyes are kind of sensitive and delicate. It seems to me like alcohol would be potentially very dangerous to the eye.
Right.
That would be my concern there. Even if it would give you the cheap high, wouldn't it also follow with a quick death?
Cheap high, quick death, yes.
Yeah.
Or blindness.
So we wanted to find out from the medical perspective what's the deal with this. Our old friend Dr. Mo, who is the official guy we go to for things like this, chief of surgery at Little Company of Mary in San Pedro, California, joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dr. Mo, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, I know you've seen next to everything in your emergency room at your hospital. Vodka eyeballing, is that one that you've had a chance to treat in person yet?
Well, the infinite stupidity of humanity never ceases to amaze me, but I have to admit, I have not seen this yet.
If you do, just give them more vodka. I mean, to me, that's just what they need.
This is one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard you guys bring up ever.
I know,
and
you know,
that pays a lot.
You know what's funny about that? If you do a search on YouTube, there are hundreds of videos.
Really?
Yeah.
Of people doing
it.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard, not even this year, I mean, even last year or before, I heard about the vodka tampons. I heard that girls were trying to get drunk faster by putting it, you know, vaginally instead of orally, and I thought that was crazy. This is even crazier. Does that work? Are people doing it, and it is successful in terms of getting the alcohol into the bloodstream faster?
Okay, I want you guys to think of one thing. How drunk do you have to be to say, you know,
right,
I'm going to stick this vodka bottle on my eye.
That's the thing.
I'm not asking you to justify it. I just want to know if it works.
No, but I'm with Dr. Mo in that you have to already be drunk to try it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right.
Right? I mean,
that's a good point.
No one does that sober, I would guess.
No.
That's no one's first shot is what you're saying.
Right. And vodka's 40 to 50% alcohol. I mean, when you drink it, it's one of the fastest working alcohols there is. I mean, you really start feeling buzzed within minutes. What kind of rush are you in?
It can't be
you have
rush.
Things to
the
do.
The thing is, there's no physical way you can get it in that fast through your freaking eye. I mean, seriously, how many people have put eye drops in their eyes, that little eye drop where they go drop, drop, and like half of it runs out anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
So, seriously, you're not going to soak up that much in your eye. What's probably going to happen, and I'm betting $1 million that 99% of these people only do it once.
Right. And then they go, that was dumb. My eye sure hurts. Wow, I wish I could see out of that eye still.
They're probably running around screaming, my eye. You know,
yeah.
1% of people that really do it are just so impossibly drunk and stupid that not only have they tried the eye and the butt, but the nose and through the ear and sitting in...
Wait a minute, hold on. You can drink beer with your ear? I didn't know that.
Dr. Mo...
You guys have already told me about other orifices.
Physically, what kind of damage, if any, could be done to an eyeball by applying alcohol to it?
Horrific amounts of damage. In fact, you can read some of the stuff on the internet about people that have gone blind, but if you just think about... Normally, the stuff you put in your eye has to be a certain concentration. You don't want to disrupt the chemistries of the eye because either going too acidic or too basic or too whatever can irritate that delicate lining that covers your eye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, people can put contact lenses on it, but you know, over the years, they've become more physiologic and more like your own body. And there's nothing remotely like your body than vodka.
Here's my point. This has to be the bottom 1%. Right?
Oh,
I mean, this has to be the dregs.
You have to agree with Ralph here that literally the only problem is I don't agree with letting these people do it.
You have to thin the herd, doctor. We have too many.
But it doesn't thin the herd; it just blinds
it
the herd.
Exactly right. We have a blind herd.
Now we got to pay for the herd,
and we also
you got stupid blind people. That's all that's left.
And right? We also need to follow people who go blind with this and not give them any
assistance
or special parking or anything else.
How did you go blind?
Right. I did.
Exactly.
I put vodka in my eye.
That's the herd. We're corralling him, and that's totally
awesome. Vodka eyeballing? I'm sorry, you don't get a dog. Sorry.
There he is.
All right, Dr. Mo, this is one rare instance that we thought we were right and just wanted to confirm. So the official policy of the Kevin and Bean Show is don't vodka eyeball, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Unless you're dying to go blind. Let's say that's your goal.
And then go right away. All right. Dr. Mo, Chief of Surgery, Little Company, Mary, San Pedro, California. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, dude. We always appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
This is going to be the greatest thing all day long. So you're welcome to turn off the radio after you hear the latest edition, ladies and gentlemen, of Motorboat Cleo.
Motorboat Cleo.
Cleo. Cleo.
Got up in your boots, shaking my head for you.
All right, here's the thing. We played Lick Lisa, and we played it for a long time. And then we started getting interns that Lisa did not want to be licked by.
I had to put my foot down.
So she put her foot down. So then we said, how about if you Motorboat Cleo? And then she said, what sense does that make? And we said, just don't worry about that. Just trust us on this.
Just do it.
Just do it. So then she Motorboated Cleo, and that was the best. And now
it was so awesome. And the video is up at kevinandbean.com from last week when we played this game. Lisa, a first-time motorboater, I thought very impressive technique. Cleo
Thank
seemed
you.
To very much enjoy it. By the way, asked for a minute to be alone after they were done. So I was very pleased with that.
But the listeners were bad. And it only happened once.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, out of the entire right. game. So we're going to do the game again, hoping that we'll have better listeners. And this time we have Gaga here, who is our intern. Gaga.
Hello.
Is here, and Miss Cleo is here. Okay, so now Lisa will answer the question.
Yes.
The caller will say higher, lower, or right on, and mm-hmm. then if they're right, then we Motorboat Cleo.
Right.
Gaga.
Okay. And they go into the drawing.
Motorboat
Let's
Cleo.
Let's not forget what this is for.
Whatever with that.
Oh, that's right. They win when you rest.
Yeah, there's that.
Right. Miss Cleo, if you can hear me, what kind of reaction did you get from the video being up on kevinandbean.com last week, seeing you get motorboated by Lisa?
Lots of love and one a-hole that told me I need to put makeup on.
Yeah!
I was like, really? Looking at, looking at my face?
Who is
really?
Looking at your face?
What an idiot.
Wow. No kidding. All right. So, again, I'm going to be asking questions. The answer will always be a number, callers. Lisa answers first. Then you just figure out how close she is to the right answer, higher, lower, or just the same. If you're right, somebody gets the Motorboat Clio, and you go into the drawing to win the weenie tickets. All right.
Gaga's warming up, by the way. Gaga's literally, she's putting her head close and making the movement so that she's warm and ready to go.
I love this enthusiasm.
I do, too.
I might pay for a video between Gaga and Clio, by the way. That's a good combination right there.
Let's start with Tim, who's a cop. Hi, Tim.
Hey, morning, guys. Kevin, Dean, Lisa May.
Hi, Tim.
All right, Tim, listen up. Here's the question. Lisa answers first. Stone Temple Pilots, one of the bands you'll be seeing Saturday if you end up winning, were originally called Mighty Joe Young. Captain Sully Sullenberger was named one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential Heroes. Here's your question, Lisa. In pounds, what is the maximum takeoff weight of a Boeing 747?
Oh, dear God.
How many pounds does a 747 weigh?
That is going to explode.
Just guess. Come on, we got to get to the next part.
I have no idea.
Just guess.
No guess.
Just say something.
40,000 pounds.
40,000 pounds. All right, is that exactly right, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'm going to go
higher.
The actual answer is
higher.
Probably
going to
be higher.
Okay,
good. What?
I heard him. I heard he said higher.
What the hell?
He said higher.
800,000 pounds is the actual guess. So congratulations, you're in the drawing, and that means Gaga gets the Motorboat Miss Cleo.
Here we go.
Motorboat.
Yeah. All right, good. Excellent.
I love that.
That's the best game ever. All right.
Wow. Hey, Gaga, how she just took her headphones off.
Her name is Gaga.
We don't have time for Gaga.
How was that, and have you ever done it before, Tool Woman? Because Lisa had not.
No, but it was fabulous.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, next contestant, please.
We call her Gaga because when she came in to audition, not audition, but have
interview?
An interview.
Interview.
Yeah. She said she was a dance instructor, and we made her dance to the Lady Gaga song, which she did better than Lady Gaga. All right, Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Motorboat Clio.
All right.
All right, here's your question. Lisa answers first. The answer will be a number. Hole has previously been nominated for 4 Grammy Awards. Of course, they're on the bill with us this Saturday. The current Guatemala sinkhole is the size of a city block. In feet, Lisa, what is the average size of a New York City north-south block?
I know, that's ridiculous.
Oh, okay, in feet.
Yes, in feet.
What is the average size? You mean one street or the square block? Because that makes a difference.
This is one block. If you walk one block north-south, yeah. You've walked many New York City blocks.
Just say a number.
I'm really bad at it.
Say a number.
Why? You're just going to tell them anyway.
Yes, I am. Say a number.
All right. 700 feet.
Lower.
700 feet.
Kevin.
Lower.
Lower.
Lower is right.
Lower it is. Yes. Yeah. 264. You're in the drawing for the tickets. Gaga, go ahead and motorboat Miss Cleo.
All right. It's getting better as we go.
Right. She's mining in there.
I'd like to request some tongue next time, Gaga, if you would, please.
I don't know how, but yes. Andrew, hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Welcome to Motorboat Clio.
All right, here we go, Lisa. The easiest question in the history of Lick Lisa. Are you ready?
Yes.
Paramore's Hailey recently got caught tweeting a topless picture of herself. Well done, by the way. We love the boobies. Here's your question. What is the maximum number of characters a tweet can have?
140.
That's correct. That's right on.
Gee, we didn't win this game.
Is that right on, or is the actual answer right higher or lower?
It's right on.
Right
yes,
on.
How did you know?
You're in the drawing. Let's motorboat.
Dave gave me some advice.
Oh, really?
Oh.
What does Dave know about?
Dave gave her good advice.
Wow.
Which is, well, you gotta kind of hold them together sometimes to get the maximum motorboating ability.
Yeah.
Right?
By the way, that's an area where Dave has some experience after his years with Miss Double D. So congratulations. Well done.
All right. Let's go to Al and see if he has any idea what the answer
you
is.
You win, Al. Go ahead, motorboat.
Hi, Al.
Why am I bothering to read the questions?
I don't know.
Are you ready for your question?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Writing his name down. Al, now you're in the drawing.
Hang
go
on.
Ahead.
We got to play this out.
Sure.
All right, Lisa, let's be fair. Are we not men? We are Devo. Devo performed the second day of this year's Coachella Music Festival, and they'll be joining us Saturday at the Weenie Roast. Here's your question. A single serving of regular Cool Whip contains how many calories? Single serving of Cool Whip, which I think is about 9 grams.
I'm going to say 25.
25
calories. Wow, that sounds perfect. I mean, if I were to guess, I would guess 25.
Right on.
That's right on is the answer. How do you do it? That's incredible. All right, let's motorboat Cleo.
Hang on, I gotta get ready. All right. Anything new?
Well, I think Bean already made
Take
a suggestion.
Pants off.
Pants?
I don't know.
All right, come on, let's get to it.
She gets lost in there.
She does.
I feel like somebody should be buying somebody a drink by now. Don't you? All right, we just have time for one more contestant, or we'll do this all day.
Hey, Matt.
Popo's out, party people.
You as well.
Popo's out. Passion Pit, a band I'm very much looking forward to seeing on Saturday, is a solo project by Michael Angelakis in his Emerson College dorm room is where he began that. The Peach Pit was successfully managed by Nat for 10 90210 seasons. Brad Pitt has how many adopted children? That's your question, Lisa. How many adopted children for the Pitt Jolies?
Nope, three. What's your answer, Matt? Is three correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Nicely done. How do you do it?
One more time. Let's motorboat Cleo.
Yeah.
All right. She's serious now.
This one's going to be good. All right. Stay.
All right. Congratulations to all our contestants. Lisa will now do the drawing. Let's see who's going to join us at the weenie race.
We have an extra.
We put him in her cleavage.
Oh, we put him in her cleavage.
Pull it out. We don't have time for that.
Yes, we do. Get it with your teeth. Well,
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Andrew
is our winner.
Yay!
Andrew, what did we give Andrew? What's this game about? What are we doing? What does he win?
Tickets and backstage passes to the Weenie Roast. Yes. Be sure to say hello to Miss Cleo, Gaga, and Lisa. They all helped you win. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Motorboat Cleo.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, you know, we had Katy Perry on last week. Her other half, Russell Brand, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow. And your friend David Koechner is coming by early tomorrow, too.
The Keck will be in the house.
Yeah, Keck is stopping on by. I know you love that dude. So anyway, that's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, time for Ralph's Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
I want to get the inside scoop from Keck about Anchorman 2.
Yes.
Of course, he played the sportscaster of that Action News team. So I'm sure he's got some interesting stories about the state of that sequel, which I desperately want to see.
Me too.
All right, before I get into the showbiz news, I do want to mention that we are still conducting our auction over at KMB Bay on the KevinandBean.com website. I am auctioning off my personal tickets for this weekend's Weenie Roast concert. We are trying to raise some money for the benefit of Annabelle Ward and her daughter, Ayanna. She was the victim of a hit-and-run accident in 2008 that I witnessed. And she's been really going through some hard times as of late because she lost her job and her car and her home. So we're trying to get her not only some financial help, but also some medical help as well. And this will go a long way towards that. I'm auctioning off my pair of tickets, VIP passes, VIP parking. You also get to hang with the Kevin and Bean Show if you're so inclined. If you want to pass, we completely understand.
That's fine.
Pair of T-shirts as well, the whole package. And it's now up for auction on our website, kevinandbean.com, under K&B Bay is where you'll find it. And right now, the high bid is $1,000.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Coming
nice.
Out of Bakersfield, California.
That's great.
And, you know, that's like a half a trailer right there, $1,000. So if they can come up with $1,000 in Bakersfield,
we're grateful for our Bakersfield affiliate and the support that they've shown us.
That's what I
over the years on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes. And guitars and Cadillacs and hillbilly music right there and, with you, brothers.
And the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
And tumbleweeds. So check it out, won't you? I know people have also been emailing and asking about my little daughter, Olivia.
Yeah.
And she is home now, and I want to thank everyone who was so kind and in their support when she was in the hospital dealing with all the craziness that she had to deal with. And she's home, and she's thriving, and she's putting on weight. And she's doing all the things that babies are supposed to do right now, which is great. And she's talking, which is very fun for us.
What are you talking about? She's like a month old.
Well, she's 2 months old.
Okay, you don't talk at 2 months.
Maybe your kids didn't, Kevin.
No
but look
do.
At the gene pool they're drawn from. And look at the gene pool my kid's coming from.
I don't think anyone.
And Olivia's very excited about, of course, the Flyers game this afternoon. She's very
excited. She told you that?
Yeah, well, my wife was talking to her, and she just sent me a little video she made this morning.
Oh.
She just emailed it to me, so I thought I'd share it with you guys.
Wacko Flyer, bum, 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 bum.
Who's number 45?
Asham.
48.
Gabriel.
Number 13.
Marcelo.
Number 28. Number 19.
Sally Hartnell.
Number 25.
Matt Colwell.
And what color is the Flyers?
Orange and black.
That's right. You go, Olivia. Wow. You go, darling.
She's impressive.
She has memorized every player and their positions and their jersey numbers. Yeah,
that's so amazing.
So I can't wait to get home. Teach her how to jump through a hoop.
Hey, it's casting call time. You know, from time to time, I know listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show would like to be on television, and I like to give them the opportunity when I can. There's a casting call going on this Saturday here in the Los Angeles area. It's going to happen at the Los Angeles Meeting and Event Center in Culver City, California. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They are looking for an ABC reality show. They're looking for people who have to lose at least 200 pounds.
Ooh, me. Tell me more.
They bring the trainer to you.
Cool.
You have to.
That's right.
You're not going anywhere.
They show up to your home and they work with you to help you lose the weight. Let me know if you'd like to be a cast member on the new, the first season of Obese over there on ABC.
Obese is the name
yes.
of it.
How proud you would be to be right. one of the stars of Obese on ABC.
Well, I even allow that on my IMDb if I get on the show.
So if you'd like to star in Obese this fall, then go down to the Los Angeles Meeting and Event Center on Washington Boulevard in Culver City this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and say, I would like to be on Obese, please.
And right after that show, Fugly debuts.
Yes.
You become a part of that as well.
Obese.
Doesn't Obese name. Sound like the sequel to Precious?
It does. It certainly does. You know, recently, Lady Gaga has been falling ill. She's missed a couple concert dates. And people were speculating what was wrong. Was she not taking care of herself? Was it exhaustion and dehydration? Was it an alcohol issue? What was her problem? Well, last night she was on the Larry King Show.
Great. I'll bet I'm sure he got to the bottom of it.
And she discussed exactly what was wrong, and it's kind of sad.
There was a story about lupus or something. Do you have lupus?
You know, lupus is in my family, and it is genetic. And it's funny because my mother told me the other day that my fans were quite worried about me because they did talk about the fact that I was tested for lupus. And the truth is I don't show any signs. Any symptoms of lupus, but I have tested borderline positive for the disease. So as of right now, I do not have it.
But it's in her family.
Oh,
so
wow.
Those are the medical concerns.
You don't want to hear the word borderline when you're talking about medical.
No, unless you're singing a Madonna.
Yeah,
medley.
Nice.
Thank you.
And by the way, speaking of Madonna, my question was going to be, isn't she American? Isn't she from New York? Doesn't she have that same affected faux British accent that Madonna has?
You don't know, man. You don't want to
What's
like
that about?
You don't know how it is in showbiz. You can't just talk like a regular person. I don't let you.
My favorite Larry King question last night, by the way.
Okay, you were born Stephanie Jeremiah. Why did you change your name? How did you come up with Lady Gaga?
Yeah, he's good.
Wow.
He's the best. She, by the way, mocked his appearance basically by showing up in a Gaga-esque version of suspenders and a tie and the glasses and everything.
I love that.
Which was very funny. I like her. She's cool. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Some people were born today. And
any names?
I wrote it down on the list,
or?
And here's that list now. Fabrizio Moretti of The Strokes is 30 years old today. Actor Justin Long turns 32. Nikki Cox from Unhappily Ever After and from Las Vegas, she's 32 years old. Zachary Quinto celebrates his 33rd birthday. Wentworth Miller of Prison Break is 38. Comedian and host of the new Let's Make a Deal, Wayne Brady, is 38 years old. Be Real of Cypress Hill is 40. Former SNL star Dana Carvey's 55. Dennis Haysbert is 56. And drummer Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones is 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I believe Trey Cool from that band Green Day is going to be on the show next week talking about Green Day Rock Band. Very excited to catch up with him. So that's coming up. Also, some Muse this hour for you, Audioslave and Phoenix. Ralph is in studio, superhero geek that he is, talking about a show that we apparently missed last night that was pretty interesting.
Last night on 2020 on ABC, they did a special on real-life superheroes. And by that, I mean people who have superhuman abilities.
Superhuman meaning?
Meaning.
ESP type stuff? Or
all kinds of special gifts, whether they be physical or mental, that really have parallels with superhero superpowers.
Okay.
For example, well, play the intro, and I'll tell you a little bit more about each of these people.
Meet the superheroic superhumans. Birdman, able to fly at 100 miles per hour and defy gravity. The Human Spider, able to scale the world's tallest buildings without a rope.
Yo, Spidey!
Iceman, able to survive 104 minutes fully immersed in ice. Mermaids, able to swim underwater without oxygen. Plus, Marathon Man, able to run 50 marathons in 50 days. And Brain Man, able to master a new language in just 1 week.
Wow.
Okay.
Brain Man was my nickname in college.
I wish we had more clips of Brain Man because he's got Asperger's.
Really?
Yes. And Brain Man was a social outcast as a boy and developed his mind and his powers of the brain and now has made himself sort of a celebrity in the intellectual circles. He had he looked at pi to 25,000 places.
Oh my God.
Once.
Right.
Then put it down, sat in front of five mathematicians, and recited back pi to 25,000 places correctly.
That would be a photographic memory, right?
It took him like 5 hours to rattle off all the numbers, but he was right to the digit.
Didn't get one wrong.
Not out of place.
4 hours into it.
Kept going. Just kept rocking.
Really?
Well, he deserves to be Brain Man then. That's amazing.
He learns. He knows eight different languages. And he learned how to speak Icelandic, which apparently is one of the most difficult languages to learn, in 7 days. He didn't know how to speak it. He sat down with a woman. She gave him some text and worked with him. And 7 days later, he went on an Icelandic talk show and had a full conversation with the hosts of that show in Icelandic.
That's unbelievable. Was that the first and only time he ever talked to a woman?
It may have been.
Ralph, I can't believe, the guy who runs 50 marathons in 50 days, I've heard of guys who can do stuff like that. Yes. Everybody else on that rundown that we just heard from last night's 2020 sounded impossible. For instance, nobody can fly, much less at 100 miles an hour. Nope. What's that guy's about?
This guy's got one of those flying suits. He looks like a flying squirrel. It's got wings under his arms.
Right.
And he has released himself over the Matterhorn. From helicopter and soared around the Matterhorn, done circles around it. He's got a parachute. Eventually, he's got to use the chute to land.
Right. But is he gliding or does he have a power source?
He's gliding and he has some suits with a power source as well.
Wow.
He has gone around suspension bridges. He has gone around, the Jesus touchdown statue in Brazil?
Uh-huh.
He has flown under the arm of that and around it. He is just, that's what he does. He flies around landmarks, and that's how he gets his kicks, is by flying through the air.
Huh. Why can't I get a jetpack if this guy's out there flying all over the world?
An athlete.
How does the dude scale the buildings without rope?
This guy you've probably seen before. His name's Alain something, a French dude, but he just, that's his thing, is he walks up skyscrapers. He climbs skyscrapers.
How? Just holding on to
just
cracks?
Just holding on to cracks. Like a guy would do rock climbing, he does it to skyscrapers all over the world.
Wow.
Sometimes in a Spider-Man costume. That's why people yell "Go Spidey" and stuff because he loves Spider-Man and he wants to be that dude. And he's got a rock climbing wall all over the interior of his home.
Right,
and he can scale up the wall and then scale over the ceiling and hang there for up to 25-30 minutes at a time. He's trained himself.
Wow,
that's unbelievable.
Iceman goes into frigid cold waters. He jogs in the Antarctic, for example, in sub-zero temperatures. Has run marathons. In shorts. That's it. Just in shorts. Barefoot and shorts.
Barefoot?
He locks himself in deep freeze chambers. He can stay there for hours. He can immerse himself in ice for over an hour.
104 minutes is... That's not... That's...
He's like Mr. Freeze.
It'll kill you.
Yeah. It doesn't kill him, though. He's developed his body to the point where he can withstand brutal cold, and it doesn't even bother him. He just doesn't even shiver. He just shakes it off.
What about the mermaids that swim without oxygen? What's that about?
This woman has built herself a prosthetic mermaid tail, the bottom half of her body.
Right.
And she's a deep diver. She can go 100 feet down below the surface and swim for minutes at a time on one breath. She swam with whales and sharks and all different kinds of marine life. She considers herself one with marine life. She's like Aqua Girl.
So, do they have doctors on the show to explain how these people were physically able to do these incredible things?
In many times, like Brain Dude, for example, his brain is connected. Usually, you just use one part of your brain at a time.
Right.
His entire brain, the way it's set up anatomically, is connected. So, when he looks at numbers, he hears sounds and sees colors and shapes as well while he's looking at the numbers.
Wow.
And that's why he can associate so much information because his entire brain is working synergistically.
See, I missed this show because when I heard their new real life superheroes, I thought it was going to be a guy living in his mom's basement in a Batman suit who goes out and fights crime. See, I mean, honestly, I did. I thought that's what it was going to be. I didn't know it was going to be these super freak athletes.
It was fascinating. It was fascinating television to watch these people, you know, to really replicate what up to this point had only been considered, you know, in fiction books and comic books and myth and that kind of story.
Do any of these people fight crime, or they just have that?
Well, they did a bottom half. The last part segment was regular people who dress up in costumes and do good things. Like there's a guy who goes out in the street and feeds the homeless in a costume, and there's another guy who helps teach kids about safety and stuff in a costume. So they had some of that towards the end, but mostly it was about people with abnormally amazing superhuman powers.
All right, stand by, Ralph, because we got a lister that we need to go to here on the phone in a second. We're talking about, if you're just joining us, the program on 2020 last night that they billed as real-life superheroes. And doesn't it sound like now, Kevin, the way Ralph's explained it, that this is an unbelievable show that we should watch?
Yeah, definitely.
Who knew? I agreed with you. I thought it was going to be guys like losers that were in their basement and they'd come out every once in a while and get their mom to buy them duct tape, and she didn't know why.
You know, Leo says that this listener, Charles Wackenhut, is on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show, was apparently trying to get on the show, was considered for the superhero show segment on 2020 last night, but was not able to appear on camera. Hey, Charles, how are you? Thanks for calling, dude.
Good morning to you. Please call me Charles.
Charles.
Yes.
I thought I did. I'm sorry, Charles.
Call me Charles.
Charles, right. So you did not make the superhero show last night, but you had one of these incredible talents that should have gotten you on the program?
I was under consideration for the television show.
And what? Right.
And they rejected me at the last moment.
What was your talent, your superhero talent?
Well, that's why I was so upset, because I call myself Captain Chameleon, and I have many of these powers that can be used to fight crime and also do other things that are important.
Okay. Okay. Do you have skills like a chameleon, like the lizard would have?
I have the skills of superhero Ant-Man. I have ability to control ants.
You can control ants?
Yes. Once I dropped a sizable crumb of donut on my kitchen floor, and I said, I wonder if ants will come and eat that. And a week later, the ants had come to eat it.
Okay, but that would happen in any kitchen if you leave food out.
No, I believe it was my mental powers that commanded them to do so.
Okay, that doesn't really rate with the guy who can fly, though.
I also have the powers of Mr. Fantastic and or the Elongated Man and or Plastic Man.
Really?
So I have stretching powers.
He can stretch, like, under a door to reach inside and open it?
That's right. I have similar powers. Once I had a Chuck E. Cheese arcade token in the way in the bottom of my pocket, and I was able to reach it.
Well, okay, but that's just pulling change out of your pocket. That's
it was
not that
very
hard.
Deep in there, and right, but the average finger would not have reached it.
That's not a superhero skill, Charles.
I have the skills of also the Human Torch. I can control flame.
And well, that would be impressive. Okay.
Once preparing to make a hot pocket on my hibachi, and I was filled with Kingsford charcoal, and I lit a match, and the entire pile of charcoal ignited.
Well, that's what charcoal's supposed to do. I mean,
but with one match.
Right. Yes.
So with just one match.
Yes. That's how it works.
I would have to beg to differ.
Okay.
I also have the powers of Aquaman.
Aquaman.
I can control marine life with my mental capacity.
Okay, how do you do that?
Once I was at a popular animal-based theme park in San Diego, California.
Right.
SeaWorld, right?
No, I don't think that was it.
Okay.
And they had a large ring they were holding up in a large aquatic setting.
Right.
And I said, I would love to see a dolphin and or porpoise go through that ring.
But
and then as I thought it happened as if with magic.
Okay, but that's just part of the dolphin show. They do that 8 times a day down there.
I beg to differ. Once I also have the mind-reading powers of Doctor Strange and Saturn Girl and the Martian Manhunter comic book heroes.
Okay. How do you read minds?
I am able to read minds.
How? Who? What?
I get the sense right now you're sorry you took my phone call.
That's pretty accurate. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. All next week, by the way, we are going to be playing an on-air dating game, Kevin and Bean's Wake-Up Call, brought to you by Axe Rise. The winning couple will be sent to one of these festivals, Lollapalooza, Bumbershoot, Warped Tour, Outside Lands, or the Mile High Festival.
Wow. That's kind
of
cool.
So you're going to play dating game on the air. Instead of asking you to call in next week, though, you have to go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean page, click on the Axe banner, and sign up today. Today's the last day you can sign up. And then next week we'll do the dating game on the air. But if you want to go to one of those concerts.
Why not?
With a complete stranger.
Sounds like fun.
Then go to krock.com and check it out. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 728.
All right. Wednesday on the program, yesterday late in the show, we talked to a Kevin and Bean listener named Haley, delightful young woman who was working the Renaissance Fair a couple weekends ago and met Bono. And that was a thrill for her, right? Very, very exciting. Except for the fact that we knew that it wasn't really Bono because he was in Germany having back surgery. Here's a taste of the call that we had late yesterday.
Look, okay, I know that this is crazy. I emailed you guys because if it wasn't him, it was his exact doppelganger. He had every single sign of him. He had the sunglasses. He had the one bracelet, which I think to me was kind of the biggest kicker, the charity that he worked for, the white bracelet.
Well, you can't fake the sunglasses and the bracelet. I know that.
Those are the two things
that you can't fake.
So the one thing we knew is that it wasn't Bono. So then we started talking about, what's this guy's deal? Why show up dressed as Bono in a limo, by the way? Why show up and hang out at the Renaissance Fair unless you're just trying to meet chicks? And we thought, what's going on with this guy? We managed to convince Haley that it wasn't really Bono. But then we got a call in the business office from the guy who it actually was. He is not Bono, but he is Pavel. Pavel, help me out here, dude.
I'm helping you all out.
How do you say your name?
Pavel.
All right. And you are the man who would be Bono at that Renaissance Festival that our listener Haley was at.
I was Bono at the Renaissance Fair. Actually, I was just a man at the Renaissance Fair wearing glasses and the one.org campaign band on my wrist.
Okay. Right. That's fascinating to me. Now, why are you running around trying to convince people that you're Bono?
I'm not. I've been hearing this whole Bono thing since I was 14.
Okay.
Right. I've been hearing since 1979, and as they became more popular, I just kept hearing it. And I can't go anywhere. And it's just stuff that I've been hearing it. But, you know, I'll tell you, I showed up with a friend of mine, his girlfriend and a daughter. He's teaching me how to do some high-end photography, so that's one of the places we went. I was wearing a blue shirt, collar-down shirt, blue jeans, and white tennis shoes.
Okay, but when she said, hey, you're Bono, what did you say?
Says no, I don't say I'm Bono. I used to tell people I'm not Bono. I'm just a guy who looks like him. I was just, you know, born in Europe, came, you know, as a kid, grew up in L.A., yada yada. People, and I more often than not, people say, "Wow, that's great," but you know, we really love Joshua Tree. When's your band touring again? And I'm thinking, it's interesting. I'll tell you, she said that I came out of a limo. I didn't come out of a limo. We parked our car. We had a little Mercedes.
This is weird. But Pavel, here's the question I have for you. If everybody thinks you look like Bono, why wear his hairstyle, wear those glasses, wear that bracelet? Why don't you do more so that you don't look like Bono if it annoys you that people think you do?
No. I'm totally cool with it. A great majority of people I have a good time with and share this story with. I'm a full-time impersonator as Bono, and I've even doubled for Bono himself. And one of the photos that you took off from my website and put on your website here was a photo I took by myself when I was doing a double shoot for him for Vogue magazine a couple of years ago in New York City. So
that's weird. You know, all right.
A lot of the photos you have on there is older photos, but I'm a full-time person. I get calls one day, I'm in the air the next day. Sometimes I do videos for people for weddings. Yeah, they can't fly me out, so I'll set up my camera and do a whole video shoot. So I got to have the kind of the regular little look that he's having today in general. And I'm hired oftentimes for the convincing factor.
I can see how somebody who's never looked closely at Bono would think that you are him, because you do carry yourself like Bono, and especially if you got the sunglasses and whatnot.
Right.
I mean, I can see that
similarity.
But once you know Bono, once you've met Bono, as you know, we've been lucky enough. I looked at your picture that she sent to me, and I thought, well, that looks more like Steven Seagal than it does Bono. You know, I was shocked.
I don't see Bono in the mirror. It's something I've been hearing for.
We don't either. We can agree on that.
That's fine. Yeah, and I'll tell you this much, man. I love the man immeasurably. I do. And
right.
So, well, we all do. We all have a lot of respect for him.
But you also have a website, BonoDouble.com.
BonoDouble.com.
And you have bands and everything. I mean,
I've got a band here. I just got back from a 9-month tour in Europe with a band that I had out there. It was wonderful, but, you know, get totally burnt out on the road.
Oh, sure. You don't have to tell me.
Wonderful. But it's great. I've done, you know, sung to almost nobody, to 20,000 people. You know, and it's great to have that kind of element. But, you know, by and large, people love the man. I love the man, and I respect their boundaries and have some fun with it. But, you know, do I tell people I'm Bono? No, that's a zero. I don't get free stuff. I don't go beyond any of that. There's, like, nobody on the planet can say anything.
At the Renaissance Fair trying to nail fat chicks, right? That was not happening.
I was there with my friend, his girlfriend, and a 12-year-old daughter.
Hmm.
Not hard.
All right.
Yeah,
well, it's what a bizarre world. Imagine if that were your is this your job? Is this how you make a living? Is being a Bono double?
My full time gig. I'm going to Mexico soon. I've got gigs in the East Coast. I'm doing a photo shoot thing. I've been in numerous magazines, a lot of TV shows. I do YouTube my name.
No, we get it. You like you. We get that.
Have you ever heard
my name? I do some fun stuff, but you know what? It's a job. That's how I see it. It's a job, nothing more. But you know, here's the kicker. People are celebrity fascinated.
Right.
Yes.
And there's an element of idol worshiping that I cannot get myself out of. I've had situations without my glasses or earrings being essentially kind of mobbed on airplanes that I had been moved in a cockpit twice.
Okay. Now you're just making stuff up.
That's just not true.
No, that's just not true.
That's a lie.
You may be making a living as a bottle of first dater, but that's still a douchey story. All right, listen, Pavel, we got to go.
That's just dumb.
Thank you.
You didn't
We're
go out of to the cockpit. Come on.
BonoDouble.com is the website. All right, we're hanging up with you. Thank you.
Okay, bye. All right.
Bye. Wow.
Although he shares that with Bono, by the way. He can't shut the dude up. All right, here's the thing. So we were fascinated with who's running around. And I wasn't even thinking, by the way, when we were going to invite people to call who have been celebrity impersonators. I wasn't thinking about professionals. I wasn't thinking about people who make their living. I was just thinking, hey, I'm in a bar. That chick is hot. I'm going to go tell her I'm the other guy in the Goo Goo Dolls. I mean, that's the kind of story that I was expecting. You make something up that you can get away with. You pretend to be somebody famous that you're not because you think it'll get you laid.
Do you do that's enough research that you know the name of the other guy in the Goo Goo Dolls, or you just go with the other guy?
I would hope that you would at least have more to offer than just I'm the other guy. But we want to talk to you if you have ever told somebody that you are a celebrity. You have ever pretended to be somebody that you're not.
Or if they asked you if you were and you said yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the stories we're looking at because I'm sure it happens all the time. And by the way, Pavel, fake Bono there, he's absolutely right. People are desperate for you to be somebody famous. People are obsessed with celebrities.
But then you look at him, you go, he's more like a fat Patrick Swayze than he is Bono. He's Patrick Swayze.
I didn't think he looked that much like Bono either. But anyway, I know that the Kevin and Bean listeners have stories. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. You faked being a celebrity. Tell us who and why. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, you are running out of time. You win your tickets for Weenie Roast and Backstage Passes. Keep listening for a chance to call in and win those. We got them for you every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking about you pretended to be a celebrity. Where, who, and why? Those are the calls we're taking at 1-800-520-1067. We caught up with the guy who was Bono at the Renaissance Fair a couple weeks ago, found out what his story is. He does that for a living. Let's find out what kind of stories we got on the lines right now.
All right. Let's begin with Kathy on line 5. Hi, Kathy. Do you tell people that you're this person, or people tell you you look like her and you don't deny it?
You know what? It's that one. I get her all the time. Anywhere I go, I get her, and I just get tired of saying no, so now I just say yes.
And tell us who.
Anne Hathaway.
Good times.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
That could be worse.
It could be worse.
And does that parlay into anything? I mean, are people trying to get people ask for autographs or what happens?
You know what? It's so bad. I've actually signed autographs.
Have you taken pictures?
Mm-hmm. No, never taken pictures, but I've had the tweens come up to you and think that it's you along with their parents.
Right.
And I actually signed autographs one time.
That's
nice.
Funny.
Fantastic.
Hell,
we like to think of all of our listeners as looking just like Anne Hathaway, so I'm really glad you called. Thank you very much. Let's try Sam, line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sam, you have pretended to be what celebrity?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Andre Agassi.
Glendale!
You look like him, and people tell you that all the time?
Yeah, well, it got to the point one time where I was at Disneyland, and I'm at the urinal with my junk in my hand. And,
we know how that works. You don't have to really give us that kind of detail.
No, I'm enjoying it,
go
actually.
Ahead.
And this 8-year-old kid comes up, you know, with those autograph books, you know, for the characters.
Yes.
He goes, Mr. Agassi, can I get your autograph?
I hope you did it.
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome.
Is that the only time you ever signed an autograph?
No, it happened one other time, but I was pretty wasted, and I think I was at the Dresden Room.
Oh, but, okay.
About that. Hey, are you Andre Agassi with or without the toupee?
Without the toupee, the shaved head, the goatee, the whole...
All right. Do you go out of your way to look like him now when you go out to a bar or something?
No.
Doesn't help?
Carry a tennis racket everywhere you go?
Worn out Nikes.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Mike, line four. I was hoping we'd get a call like this. I think Mike has selected a celebrity that 99.9% of the people wouldn't know what the guy looked like, so you might be able to pull it off. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Who are you telling people you are?
Well, I was in Cabo, and I was Megadeth's drummer.
How
and
about that? Buddy. The drummer for Megadeth, everybody. Whoever that is.
So you tell a few people, and then they start to tell other people.
Yeah.
And it just spreads.
Yeah, we were in Cabo Wabo, and my buddy was Dave Mustaine. He was a singer.
Oh, all right. Awesome. Now, that'd be a little tougher to pull off because people do know Dave. But so how did it play out for you? I mean, people were impressed that you were in Megadeth. What happened?
Well, we signed autographs all over the bar. We took pictures. Mm-hmm. I signed the CD case.
Right.
The inside sleeve, of course. I didn't even know his name. I think I signed my own name.
Oh, my God.
You should have just written drummer from Megadeth.
did you end up getting sex out of it? That's my real question.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well done.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right. One more. How about Anne Marie, line one? A celebrity you might never think of if you had 1,000 years to ponder it. Hi, Anne Marie. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi.
So I pretended to be the baby from Three Men and a Baby.
Okay.
Pretended right. to.
What?
So
yeah.
You...
Well, so you... I was in college, and there was this drunk frat guy, like, hitting on girls, like, acting like, oh, you're a model, like, thinking it would get him laid.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, oh, you look familiar, are you a model? And I said, no, but I was in a movie once, and I told him I was the baby from Three Men and a Baby, and he totally believed me.
So how was he?
How was he in bed?
Oh, no.
How was he in bed? How was he?
He had no idea I was making fun of him, I swear.
But he bought that's the kind of thing there's no way to check.
Exactly. No one would ever source you on that.
I said, Steve Gutenberg still sends me birthday cards every year.
Nice.
Hilarious. Thanks for the call.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:57.
Our friend Joe Rogan said on UFC 114 over the weekend that he just had witnessed something he had never seen before in more than 1,000 fights. We will discuss that thing that he saw with him coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You know what?
What?
We beat the terrorists. We win.
Oh, is it really? Over?
We won.
Was it over?
It's over.
I didn't realize.
We in our way of life, have won.
Okay.
Okay.
So everyone just relax.
Okay, good.
All right.
I'm glad to hear that.
No more airport security? We can relax all that
Everyone,
now?
Just get your hair gel and your 15 ounces of Clearasil or whatever you're carrying in your bag. Just feel free to pack it now.
Wow, I hadn't gotten that message. That's great.
Because we've won. Let me tell you how we've won.
Please.
You familiar with Al Jazeera?
Yes.
Yes. That was my air name back in Phoenix.
Yeah. The Arab news channel.
Yes.
Well, five of their highest profile anchor women have all quit the network after a higher up at the network had harsh criticism for them and their fashion choices.
Yeah.
They said their on-air appearance was unacceptable because they wore makeup, left their hair uncovered, and did not dress appropriately for a Muslim woman.
Okay.
Wow.
They looked too good. They were dressed too suggestively. They had makeup. They were showing their hair. And they said that's unacceptable. So five anchor women, Nomana Namur, Lina's, I'm not even going to try this, but five of them
quit.
Said, you know what? F you, boss. And took a big powder, took a walk.
Awesome.
You know what that means? We win! Because they said, I like dressing like a smoking hot newscaster. I don't care what Al Jazeera says.
That's good news.
That is good news. Hearts and minds, people. Hearts and minds. So now I guess they got to find some ugly broad in a burqa to put on instead of them.
Yep.
But
they're welcome here.
Look how hot that one is.
She's
pretty. Oh my God.
She's
wow.
She needs to move to our country and work for Fox or somebody or CNN or somebody. Get her on TV.
She's sporting some Loreskas there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she's
don't
not
cover those up.
She's not dressed sexy. She
no,
just looks
she
great.
Looks, she looks terrific. Yeah. She looks very professional, but she looks very attractive.
Yeah.
So Al Jazeera's five more down. We got the third. We got the third top guy in Al Qaeda.
Yep.
And now five of their newscasters are gone.
Gone.
We win.
I don't understand the whole religious aspect of women have to be covered up. I don't get that because I mean, in the 10th century, most women could dress, you know, more revealingly than these women can dress in the 21st century. I don't understand that aspect of the Muslim culture. I don't.
You want to show some hair? Because, oh, guys go nuts when they see your hair.
Glendale.
Stand that about.
Johnny Depp has problems, too. It's not all glamour and glitz.
I doubt that.
Millions of dollars in private islands and smash hit movies. He's got problems just like everybody else.
What are his problems?
What are you giving Johnny Depp the gong for?
It's an ironic gong.
Oh, an ironic gong.
You couldn't tell?
They're playing the side stage.
Yeah, they are.
He said when he was filming Alice in Wonderland, it was so weird. The costumes and the scenery and the stuff that he was playing was so strange that he started having horrible nightmares throughout the entire shoot. The worst of all, he said, I'm not kidding, he once dreamt that the skipper from Gilligan's Island was chasing him through the streets of Hollywood. Okay. That would be terrifying. Come here, little buddy. I want to bend you over a coconut tree. You don't want that.
You don't.
Did he have to take the skipper hallucinogens to make the movie, or what's the story there?
Why do you always have to go to drugs, Bean? Why is that always the first place your mind goes?
That's usually the only time you ever dream about the skipper. That's why.
Congratulations to Glee star Jane Lynch. I hope that Omar will be charitable.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
In the next segment when he does his Glee cap, in honor of the fact that Jane just got married. She and her partner, psychologist Laura Embry, got married Monday at the Blue Heron Restaurant in Sunderland, Massachusetts.
Friggin' way.
Sounds romantic.
Overlooking Sugarloaf Mountain. It is. It's a beautiful view.
It is, okay.
It's a gorgeous view. Star Magazine reports, I love this quote, the pair decided to tie the knot in Massachusetts because same-sex marriages there are legal. I guess that'd be a good choice. That's why I choose to drive on the right-hand side of the freeway.
Because that's how you do it?
Because that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jersey Shore! Can't wait. On Sunday, you know they got the movie awards?
Oh, they do, the MTV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Jersey Shore cast is going to come out and give us a little preview of the second season of Jersey Shore.
Oh.
Jersey Guido's in Miami, or whatever it's called.
That's going to be riotous.
Very excited. I hope they reveal which one of the cast members was doing blow during the whole shoot. RadarOnline.com says one of the cast members was frequently indulging in cocaine while filming in Miami.
Wait, just one?
Yeah. The cast member's drug use was known to others. They said apparently they had to be very careful about it because, of course, cameras are everywhere. And
sure.
Drugs are not allowed in the house where they were living. So the individual, according to this story, had to score coke and keep it away from the spotlight while they were indulging. Gotta be Snooki, right? No, she's too fat. She can't be doing a lot of blow. Who could it be? JWoww?
Really? Yeah, well.
I hope JWoww's a coke whore. That'd be the best.
She's a little heavy, too, for her.
Yeah, I know they all are, but what are you going to do? Gotta pick the least heavy of them all. Put it out there.
It's gotta be one of the dudes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I bet it's Royd Case. That guy kept punching everybody all season long last year. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Fabrizio Moretti of the Strokes is 30 years old.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
It's not that kind of stroke. It's a different stroke. Mm. Justin Long, which was my porn name, you know, for many years, is 32 years old today. Nikki Cox. Is 32. Zachary Quinto from Heroes and from Star Trek played the new Mr. Spock, 33 years old today. Wentworth Miller of Prison Break is 38, as is Wayne Brady. B. Rill of Cypress Hill is 40. Dana Carvey, formerly of Saturday Night Live, is 55 years old. Actor Dennis Haysbert is 56. And drummer Charlie Watts of the legendary Rolling Stones is 69 years old today.
Wow.
How many 69-year-old rock stars are there?
Not many.
Not many. Yeah, I think he's just him. He's a subset of one.
Yes.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We don't just say this because our friend Joe Rogan is on the phone, but we were talking during the song there that the brother is good at what he does on the UFC fights, isn't he, Kevin?
He's too good. Sometimes I'm like, hey, Joe, don't tell me so much ahead of time. He'll go, he's going for this move, and then he does. It's like Joe's...
How does he do that?
He's controlling the fight.
Because he's got a script, because all the fighters have a script, and they know what they're supposed to do next, and Joe is just leaking it. That's all. Hey, Joe Rogan, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
What's going on, people?
Well, what's going on is that you saw something Saturday night that wasn't the headlining fight with Quentin Jackson and Rashad Evans. It was something that happened in an earlier fight that you said was the craziest thing you'd seen in 1,000 fights that you'd watched.
Oh, you're talking about Mike Russo knocking out the Adonis.
Talking about overweight McFatty versus legs the size of my waist.
Yeah, that was one of the most ridiculous, like, looking fights, one of the most ridiculous looking fights, because one guy is ridiculously fat and the other guy looks like he was made in a lab.
Yeah, and the ridiculous fat guy, you look at him and you go, that guy can't possibly have been working out like all these other fighters, because he literally had a gut that hung over his waist.
Yeah.
And he was really out of shape for this sport.
Well, he wasn't out of shape, but he was fat.
He was fatter than any other fighter I've seen. I've seen big fighters.
Yeah, he's pretty fat.
I've never seen fat. And
so what's his deal, Joe? Where did he come from?
Well, he's a Chicago cop.
Really?
Yeah, he's just a big, strong, tough dude. And, you know, he took a ferocious beating for the first two rounds. And apparently, this is going to sound even crazier, apparently there's a rumor that he broke his arm in the first round. And
it's unsubstantiated
right now, but that his left arm was broken in the first round, and he fought two rounds with his arm broken and then knocked the dude out with his right arm. Really ridiculous. If you look at the bodies of the two, it doesn't seem like they should be anywhere near each other.
Right, and the first two rounds, it was almost like every shot that the guy hit him with, you would think that would have finished.
That's going to do it.
That one punch would have finished most fighters, and he just somehow absorbed it and just kind of hung in there. But you knew it was only a matter of time. He was going to get beaten up, and then it was going to end.
Yeah.
Like it, but there were some subtle things going on that were bothering me. One, he hit him Todd Duffy, who's the Adonis character, who is this ridiculously sculpted young man with like zero body fat and gigantic muscles. First of all, although that looks good, that's not really the ideal build for a fighter. When you see a guy that's over-muscled like that, it looks more like a bodybuilder than he does a fighter.
That's my problem. That's why I've never been able to get a good fight.
Yeah, that is why.
Yeah, but you said that the night of the fight, that it requires a lot more oxygen.
It's not a natural build. What you're doing is you're stacking all this muscle on your normal frame. If you took all that muscle off of his frame and made him like a normal athletic guy, he'd probably be fighting at 205 pounds, but instead he's got all this muscle on and he weighs around 250. It's a burden more than it helps.
But isn't a guy with fat on his frame, isn't that also a burden?
Yes.
I mean, that was just... So what happened for people who didn't see it was, one, the fat guy got beaten up for the first two rounds. It was almost just the most one-sided thing I've ever seen. And then with one punch, Fatty took out Strongy.
Yeah, Fatty took out Strongy after taking a ferocious beating for more than 12 minutes.
With one punch.
How this guy always wins? I mean, not that he always wins, but is this what he does?
No, he's never done this before.
It was funny. When you watched his face, he was as shocked as anyone.
Really?
Yeah, you could tell. Did you see that, Joe? Like, you could tell looking at him that he was amazed that this guy went down.
Yeah, everybody was shocked. I actually had to stand up. I literally couldn't even sit down while this was happening. I stood up and I was screaming and yelling. I'd never seen anything like that before.
You said you'd never seen anything like that in 1,000 fights.
Yeah, in 1,000 fights. I've seen unexpected things, but that was the most unexpected thing I had ever seen in a fight. But what I was going to say is, even though the guy was fat, here's the ridiculous thing. Being 35 pounds overweight with fat is actually less taxing in a fight than being 35 pounds overweight with muscle.
Really?
Yeah, because the fat doesn't require as much blood to get pumped through it. Muscle, when you have all these big, gigantic muscles, they gas out really quickly. Your heart has to pump all the blood through them, and they require so much oxygen to keep moving, and it tires you out. And
Dr. Rogan coming through with that analysis, by the way. How about that?
Yeah, slightly fat guys. Like, there's a guy named Fedor Emelianenko that doesn't fight for the UFC, but he's one of the very best in the world, and he's fat. He's got a gut. He's got like this little paunch that hangs over his shorts. And he beats the snot out of people. He's it's not that bad to be a little fat. It's worse to have extra muscle that you don't need. The extra muscle is great for like 30 seconds of fury. You know, it's great for like a couple minutes, but after a while, in a grueling fight, the muscle actually kind of wears you down.
He did look tired. I mean, it looked like if that was the punch that he would have gotten hit with in the first round, he would have been able to get back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very crazy. This is
the voice of Joe Rogan on the phone. You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show. We're recapping UFC 114 from this past weekend. Don't miss Joe on stage at the Irvine Improv, by the way, with two big dates coming up. And this isn't why he's on today. We called and asked him to talk UFC, but he happens to be appearing June 25th and June 26th at the Irvine Improv. Hey, real quick, Joe, before we have to go, after almost a year and a half off, what'd you think of Rampage on Saturday? I know that his fans were disappointed he lost, but how did you think he came out?
Well, you know, he looked great in the third round when he almost knocked Rashad out. But there's two things that happened. One, he took a lot of time off to do that movie. He's in the A-Team, which comes out now. And not only did he have to do that movie, but you have to do a lot of press. You'd have to, he's involved in a lot of other commitments outside
right.
of it that are very, very distracting. Then on top of that, he weighed 250 pounds when he got into training camp. And that's way too heavy to be fighting at 205 and have only like 2 months to get down in weight. So
yeah.
most of his training camp, I suspect, was probably concentrated on losing the weight and not as much on skills and specific things because, you know, he probably had to do some long cardio sessions, some long jogging, stuff like that, and just concentrate on burning fat off. Because you can't be that fat and then, you know, come into camp and expect to have the same kind of performance that Rashad has when Rashad comes into camp perfect in weight and already in shape from his last fight with Thiago Silva. So
Rampage fought too soon, probably.
Yes. I think you'd be much better off for Rampage. I think Rampage needs a fight, you know, in a couple of months, and he'll have a much better performance. But Rashad's always going to be a tough fight for
yeah.
him. Rashad's really fast.
He's fast and he's awkward looking and he's weird the way he stalks around the.
Yeah.
He makes me nervous.
And he's smart. Rashad is very smart. He's not going to do anything stupid. He's not going to run in and trade with him and just try to stand toe to toe with him and go mano a mano. He's going to stick with his game plan, and that's exactly what he did, and that's why he won.
The next fight is June 12th. That's a week from Saturday, right? Chuck Liddell?
Yeah, that's in Vancouver.
Chuck Liddell?
Yeah, Chuck Liddell and Rich Franklin.
Well, I got to tell you. I'm sorry, Bean. Yes,
I just said good times.
Yeah,
good times indeed.
You are you're good at what you do, Joe. And I wanted to talk. I wanted to talk to you about
Thank
that knockout.
Much.
It was one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life.
But when Joe comes on this show and he hears you describe it as strongy getting knocked out by Fatty, he wishes you were right there ringside with him. Let's face it,
well,
he needs your abilities as well.
I am a talented podcast.
Has a point. You know?
Exactly. All right, see Joe on stage at the Improv, June 25th and June 26th. Keep up with all things Joe Rogan at joerogan.net, including the Ustream live chats and the Twitter and everything. The guy is the guy is amazing.
And Watch the Hog or whatever the name of that is. That's awesome, too.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate it.
Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show. And all next week, we're going to be playing an on-air dating game, Kevin and Bean's Wake Up Call, brought to you by Axe Rise. The winning couples will be sent to one of these festivals, Lollapalooza, of course, which is in Chicago, Bumbershoot, Warp Tour, Outside Lands, or the Mile High Festival.
Ooh, yeah.
So instead of asking you to call in next week for your shot to play, we need you to go to the website, go to krock.com, and click on the Axe banner to sign up. You got to do it today. Today's the last day you can sign up. And then next week we'll do the dating game, and we'll send somebody to all of these great music festivals.
Bumbershoot, by the way, is the Seattle festival that they have every year at Labor Day. Bob Dylan on the bill this year, Kevin, so I know you'll be up here.
And you can stay with Bean. So that's a good time. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 828.
Omar has a natural cartoon hate for Glee, his weekly Glee cap coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, where he tries to tell us why last night's episode sucked. First, though, just real quick, this is a bizarre story because everybody loves Daniel Craig, James Bond, right? Who knows when there's ever going to be another James Bond movie again, because apparently the movie studio is broke, so who knows what they got it on hold right now, the whole project. But the ladies love this guy, the dudes love this guy. He's just a bona fide
Especially
movie
the
star,
dudes,
right?
apparently.
Well, that's the story here from the National Enquirer. He was seen French kissing another man at the outside the Roosterfish Bar in California on May 15th. The first source, according to the National Enquirer, says it was definitely Daniel Craig, and he was most certainly making out with a guy. Which is a bizarre story. Look, lots of guys are French kissing. Lots of guys are making out. That's no big deal. But I think it would be a surprise to people who think they know Daniel Craig, because that's not necessarily what we understood Daniel Craig to be about, right?
Correct, yes.
Yes.
So we thought, Absolutely. Hey, let's get some more information from a man who probably knows. He seems to have his finger on this type of story. And, of course, it involves 007. The great Sean Connery joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Sean.
Well, good morning, Alan Tipper. How are you?
Well, not so good. I guess you saw the news, Mr. Connery. We went to you, as you might have heard, on hold, sir, because we thought there's a fraternity of James Bonds. Maybe you know more about this Daniel Craig story than we're reading in this brief report from the Enquirer.
First, let me say that I'm disgusted by the state of the tabloid press these days.
Are you?
I mean, it's all well and good to make a few jokes at another bloke's expense, but the story that they're publishing now about Daniel Craig apparently seen kissing another man, it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, I know Daniel, I've met him several times, and it couldn't be more preposterous.
Really?
No one who knows Daniel Craig could believe he would kiss another man.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, wow. Wow, that turned. I didn't expect that.
Wait, what?
But no, he wouldn't be kissing a man. That's ridiculous. Everyone knows Daniel doesn't kiss.
What?
He just in the
okay. So,
I mean, he's not into it for the romance of it.
So it's possible when you talk about the tabloid mentality that's just the National Enquirer just trying to make up something just so they can sell newspapers. They don't care whether it's true or not.
Yeah, it's a shame that they do that. They cast aspersions on someone's character just to sell a newspaper, because apparently you've seen at this bar called the Rooster Fist.
Correct. Right. No, no, I think Rooster Fish, Sean. Rooster Fish.
Oh, the Rooster bar. Fish.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big bar.
Man.
See, now, aren't you just making wild accusations just like the Enquirer?
Oh, no,
now?
That bar's full of
okay. Oh, I see.
That's just a fact.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sean.
Oh, is Omar here to destroy the joy I have in my glee every Tuesday night? Is that
no,
what's going on
we're
again?
We're here to sway Omar over to our side by exposing him to glee over and over again. He will start to appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. F you bastards.
So far, you've ruined it for me. I got to be honest. I loved that show until you came in with the glee cast. Now I totally get your point.
Because I'm right.
Well,
no,
here's the thing.
I still love it and you're wrong.
No. I still love it, but there are moments while I'm watching it where I go, Omar's going to pick that, Omar's going to pick that, and he's going to be right.
And it's the whole show!
Well, it's not.
Are you kidding?
Sometimes.
All right, let's get into the intro. Do, all right.
Glee cap, glee cap, glee cap. Why do you like this stupid show? It sucks so bad, I'm going to let you know. I think I'm going to go number two on it. This crappy music makes me feel so goddamn sick. Glee cap, glee cap, glee cap. Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Omar, do you have a list of 15 clips there in front of you?
I do. There's not much. How much bad is in the show
we just
from last night?
That kind of
we don't
time.
Have
how
much that
bad.
Kind of time.
Okay.
All right.
This
Omar
number one
hates
clip.
Glee. We all like it. We think if he watches it enough,
right.
He'll come
around.
He
just around. Needs some exposure. That's okay. Why he don't watch
right.
it enough.
You say I have 15 clips for here, Ralph. I only need to play you one.
All right.
And you guys all should be out.
Okay.
Listen to this.
All right.
Bringing this to the entire nation. Black, white, red, brown, feel the vibration.
Okay. F you. We do not need to hear that. Okay. Seriously?
Awesome.
Good vibrations?
Awesome.
What?
Yeah, they
no.
get some Marky Mark on Glee last night.
Marky That's Mark funny. And the Funky Bunch.
Awesome.
I was watching Glee last night and I could hear Omar yelling at that song.
Yeah. F that noise. Okay.
Dude, so they can break out Streisand last week. They certainly can give me a little Funky Bunch.
Marky Mark rocked it better. Okay. If they did it better than Marky Mark, I would give them that.
I thought they did a decent job with it. Considering
Mercedes hitting the high notes there, sweet.
Mercedes? Is that big Little Precious?
Little Precious.
No, screw that noise. Okay, so the big old thing about the show right now is that Vocal Adrenaline is against the Glee Kids. Oh, which what game name do they have? The
New Directions.
New Directions. What kind of name is that,
They're
by the way?
Going to regionals, man.
Okay, so Vocal Adrenaline, to get inside New Directions' head, does this.
Another one bites the dust out.
How many times has that been done to death? Another one bites the dust. Oh, man, we're going to take you out. And it's Glee Wars all of a sudden. I didn't know they were like a gang.
Oh, yeah.
It's all like, yo, they're throwing their sets. Oh, we'll see you at regionals, brah. And then it wouldn't be a Glee without a douchey, cliched speech from white man Afro teacher guy.
We will have given it our best shot, and we won't look back. But we will regret letting them get the best of us before the competition.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, man.
Could you
Regrets.
Get more cliche than that, man?
Well, the
how many times have...
A speech.
Oh, dude. And
the
this happened...
To give a speech.
Come on, swing. Yo, it's about that time to bring
come
forth
on with
the
that,
rhythm and the
dude, really?
Yeah.
No. So Mr. White Man Afro comes up with this brilliant plan to beat Vocal Adrenaline.
I knew how we could shove it right back down their throats. New Directions is about to make their funk the P-Funk.
Yeah.
We are going to get... Funked up.
They're going to get funked up.
Omar, the other school has never been able to pull off funk.
They don't have any funk in them. They're
That's,
soul in
that's the other thing, by
that's
the way.
That's their weakness.
They can rock any other genre of music, but they can't do funk.
They don't have it inside.
They
okay.
don't have it. They don't have it.
The right, robots.
But at least this happens.
I'm going to get mine. So come get yours. On. I want to see sweat coming out your pores.
We don't need to hear sweat pores, okay? It's 2010. Give it up.
You don't know.
So, Omar, you enjoyed the episode last night. You
did
not
did
like
not,
it so much.
Did not. Okay, here's my other thing with the show last night.
All right.
I didn't see season one, but through season one and season two, tell me if this is not
this
true.
This is season one.
This is season one.
This is still season one?
I believe it is.
Are you kidding?
I believe
okay,
it is,
so Butch Lesbo, cheerleader coach.
Right.
Sue Sylvester.
Hates white man Afro teacher guy.
Mr.
Right.
Schuster.
With a passion.
Right.
Yes. Right?
Yes.
So this one song seduces her totally. Play it.
Tell me that you love me. Yeah.
That Are you kidding me?
That and his ass looks great in
no,
jeans.
No, 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 no.
Yeah.
She hated him with the heat of a thousand suns through everything, and now that one lame song, who sings
There's
that
a
crap?
Thin line between love and hate.
Who does sing that song?
Oh, my God.
Bean, you would know.
Chaka Khan, wasn't it?
Yeah, with Rufus, right.
Yeah. All right, Chaka Crap.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
And
how
this
do you
happened
do it?
On the house, dipping sound, swinging this. Strictly no. Hip-hop, boy.
Yeah.
I
ain't
singing this. Rob, stop dancing.
Dude, I was shaking my ass when I saw that.
No.
Awesome.
Okay, so this is what Sue Sylvester realizes.
Dare I admit it? I have feelings for one Will Schuster.
Yep.
Sexy, non-murdering feelings.
Damn. Wow.
Are you kidding?
Dude. She got turned around by that song.
Two sides
Chaka
of the same coin. Two sides of the same coin, my friend.
Listen,
love, Ralph, and hate.
Crap, cheese, this show sucks. Play this clip.
It's such a vibration.
Stop dancing! Are you kidding me?
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Okay, so blonde prego chick, okay?
Quinn.
Okay, yes, blonde prego chick, she does this song because they're gonna get funked up, right?
That's right.
So she does this.
This is a man's world.
Okay, there could be nothing less funk than that stupid song.
James correct.
Brown. Are you kidding me?
First of all, that's correct.
But that's not funk.
And second of all, I don't ever want to see a stage full of pregnant women dancing.
By the way, if you watch it, all the pregnant chicks were doing some sort of weird interpretive dance going, oh yeah, we're pregnant. I wanted to kick all their bellies, boom, instant abortions all over their faces.
Come on,
you've gone too far.
I'm telling you, dude.
What happened to you?
And white man Afro guy plays this whole like practical joke on the teacher, gets her to go on a date to meet her, and he doesn't show up, and he learns an important lesson.
So feel the vibration. Come on, feel the vibration.
Okay. That is an important lesson. You got to feel the vibration.
That's a good one. Sorry.
Sue, I did what I did to you out of anger. I thought destroying you would pull me out of my funk, but just made things worse.
You see? Because he was in a funk, man, because it's a whole funk episode without no funk music.
Yeah, it was.
Are you kidding?
It was a funk theme.
Supposed to be a funk theme. It wasn't a funk theme. And this happens. Vinny D's on the back up. Come come free. So put the crack up. But Vinny D's on the crack up. Dude! It sucks so much ass.
I gotta tell you, I thought it sounded pretty good.
I did too.
Oh my really god, did. Dude, you guys suck.
They're
running out of rap songs done by white guys.
Right. They can do. So finally they do this.
We want the funk.
That's fun.
Yeah. Give up the funk.
That's the only funk, funk song through the whole episode.
Oh, okay? Funk you, Omar.
But they brought it.
Yeah. It was whatever,
they brought the
by
funk
the way.
On that
and
one.
Stupid wheelchair kid. I'm going to punch that kid in the wheelchair.
He's
and make him fall over.
Wait,
he's just doing the fist pump. Oh,
wait,
yeah.
What do you want him to do?
Pump some wheelies or something,
wait,
kid.
Wait, you're going to punch him in the wheelchair?
Whatever it takes, bro.
Doesn't seem like that'll
I'm
hurt.
Telling you. I'm going to go the situation on his ass. All right, play this clip.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Can you feel it, baby?
You are not.
I can't do it.
You are not defending that. You are not defending that. Really? Come on.
I stand by.
Okay. So after the funk number, they have vocal adrenaline, and then their vocal adrenaline says, oh my god, we can't do funk. We can't do funk. Oh my god. So then that dude Punk says this.
See you punks the regionals.
Oh, this, man. It's all about the Glee Wars, bro. It's all like Donkey Kong. Play this clip.
It's such a
Come on with that, dude.
You got no soul.
Okay, dude. No, F this show, F that episode.
Oh, my.
I'm starting a new movement. It's going to be called Hag Heterosexuals Against Glee. Come on, Kevin, won't you join me?
I kind of liked it.
Oh, God.
I sort of liked it.
One episode left. Next Tuesday night is the season finale, so a final Glee cap from you next Wednesday. Thank you, Omar.
Glee crap, Glee crap, Glee crap.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. You will have no interruptions from either Kevin or Bean this hour, Ralph, just like you want it, because we're busy watching the new Clio motorboating video at KevinandBean.com right now. So go ahead and do whatever it is you do. We'll be over here. We'll be fine.
Speaking of KevinandBean.com, a reminder that we are still auctioning off that VIP package for the Weenie Roast this Saturday. It is my pair of tickets, my personal tickets, plus VIP passes, plus VIP parking, plus a couple of T-shirts we're going to throw in. And if you so choose, you can meet the Kevin and Bean Show, too. But I would not recommend it. If I could take it all back and have never met the Kevin and Bean Show, I know I would have. So all the proceeds go, of course, to Annabelle Ward and her daughter, who were victims of a hit-and-run accident a while back, and was trying to raise some money for them. And I was spent some time with Annabelle yesterday, and she's struggling, folks. And so everything you can donate helps. You can also still donate via the PayPal account. You can also find it on kevinandbean.com. But she was in the hospital over the weekend. The pain was so bad and stuff. So things are not good.
Has she gotten any kind of encouraging potential news from any of the medical personnel?
Yeah, the people at Kaiser Permanente are trying to work with her to see if they can put her on some sort of treatment program, maybe even get her on the rolls of their insurance there.
Wow,
so that would be amazing for her if that could happen. And she's got the scooter now so she can get around a little bit. We're still trying to find her a decent deal on a reliable used car so she can go a little further away from home than she has been. And we're working at it, but the donations have been amazing. The listeners have really stepped up and really opened up their hearts and their wallets to her, so we really do appreciate that. And also, if you'd like to win the package, I think the highest bid so far is $1,000, so you're going to have to go better than that if you want to win. We're going to tell you on Friday who won the big package. But let's take a look at some of the showbiz news. Charlie Sheen headed back to jail next week. He plans to plead guilty to a misdemeanor domestic violence charge next week, of course, goes back to the Christmas episode in Aspen. If all goes well, he'll be sentenced to just 30 days. But with the way things are, he'll probably serve just a little over 2 weeks. And then he'll head back to the set of Two and a Half Men in early August, where he will make $22 million an episode or whatever it is.
I remember that Christmas episode you referred to of Two and a Half Men. That was a very special one.
I don't think that's what he's talking about.
Would you go to see a black Spider-Man?
Yeah!
Sure.
Donald Glover, star of Community, is being very vocal about campaigning for the role of Spider-Man when Sony reboots that franchise. He's got campaigns going on Twitter and on Facebook, and he wants to be Spider-Man. And so there are several Facebook pages, like Donald Glover for Spider-Man and several others, that are trying to influence Sony's choice. They've already announced that they've got five actors on what they're calling their shortlist to play Spider-Man: Jamie Bell, Josh Hutcherson, Andrew Garfield, Alden Ehrenreich, and Frank Delane. He is not on that list, but Donald says it's time for some colorblind casting, and he would like to play Spider-Man.
Are any of those, I don't know, any of those five actors you mentioned, are any of them black?
No.
No. So they're guys. Just looking at Whitey so far for Spider-Man, and he Brits. Says, hey, open it up, why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I certainly think a black actor could play Spider-Man, obviously, but then all of a sudden it becomes about black Spider-Man. That movie coming out will be the black Spider-Man movie, and that becomes the attention of the film, which I think is a disservice to both character and actor when that kind of focus is put on a role.
But yeah. I can also understand the argument that why are 99% of superheroes white? There have to be some other ethnicities that can have superpowers, right?
Yeah, well, there's tons of them. Just, you know, these characters are 40, 50, 60 years old,
right.
And that's just the way things were. I just think if you take a character that's famously known to be one race or another and you cast against it, you're making that casting choice the primary focus of the project versus anything else it may have to offer.
Sure.
I just think it's dangerous
I'd love
territory.
I'd love to talk to Danny Glover about that. That's interesting.
And Donald Glover is his name.
Or whichever one. Yeah. Either any of the Glover
family. Danny Glover is 67 years old, and I doubt would make a very good Spider-Man.
I think he'd be a good Spider-Man.
Not because he's black, just because he's old.
Could
be Spider-Old Man. The change in the Crispin Glover would be another good one. And speaking of superhero movies, looks like Josh Holloway of Lost may have inked a deal with Marvel Comics Films to play a new superhero. Here's the word, though. They got him under contract, but there's no word yet on what superhero he will play. People are speculating he could be Ant-Man. Of course, the man who has power over ants in the new Avengers movie. Or he could play Hawkeye, who is sort of an archery expert superhero. Guy shoots bow and arrows.
Hmm.
Which is kind of a smart ass. So I think
sounds better than Ant-Man.
His Sawyer persona would be well served in that role.
So come on, ants! Like,
let's go. There are a lot of people on the internet who were really bucking for a cop show after they saw him in his sideways, flash forward, or flash sideways, I guess, playing a police officer. They thought he was awesome as that.
He was a good cop.
Yeah.
And then little Miles as his partner.
There you go.
Them the spinoff.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Fabrizio Moretti of The Strokes is 30 years old today. Actor Justin Long celebrates his 32nd. Nikki Cox, not only a lovely and talented actress, but also the wife of our buddy Jay Moore. She's 32 years old today. Zachary Quinto of Star Trek and Heroes is 33. Wentworth Miller from Prison Break is 38. Wayne Brady, also 38 today. Be Real of Cypress Hill is 40. Dana Carvey from Saturday Night Live. And don't forget Master of Disguise.
Sure.
Let's not forget that feature film.
Where was that?
He was good in that. He's 55 years old today. Dennis Haysbert from those Allstate commercials, and also 24. He's 56. And Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones celebrates his 69th birthday.
69.
Today. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Doc. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
check in with Spencer Pratt here in a couple minutes, find out why he's suddenly single. I don't know what to do about Kevin, Lisa. I'm losing confidence in the boy.
What are you talking about?
Well, because you got all these people that you work with, most of whose opinion you trust, and they keep coming to you and saying, hey, you ought to check this out. I think you'd really like it. It's awesome. Yet you refuse. Human Centipede, perfect example, for instance. Everybody in the show practically has seen the Human Centipede, keeps telling you how great it is. You ought to watch it. You won't watch it. What's up with that?
Well, I've heard about it. And it right? sounds like I wouldn't enjoy it.
It sounds
it's the
horrible.
Human Centipede.
Right, I know. For people who haven't heard about that movie, explain it to them.
Yeah.
Well, basically, it's a crazy, mad German scientist who has this weird, psycho, sick fantasy that he wants to connect three humans together as a centipede. They share one digestive tract, basically. And he sews my head, my mouth to your butt, for instance, and then right. your butt to the guy in front of you. And he makes him walk around, run around the yard and bring the paper in for him. How can you not want to see that?
I didn't realize he had him bring in the paper.
Human centipede.
So that's a great reason to make a human centipede is to get the paper.
So everyone except for Kevin has gone centipede crazy here. And that brings us to our next guest, Kevin and B-lister Roger Barr, who is on the phone. Hey, Roger, how are you, man?
Ahoy, how's it going, guys?
Ahoy. It's been talking like a pirate day already. So Roger emailed us because we didn't know him at that point, but we were talking about a creation of his. You have made a human centipede online game, right, Roger?
Yeah, I made a centipede. It's a parody, actually, of the old centipede arcade game.
Fantastic. Now, what did you do? How did you change it up to reflect the human centipede?
Basically, instead of, you know, just having a little random spaceship shooting icon, we made the mad scientist in the movie the guy who's shooting his centipede, which is basically his patients, you know, who, as you said, have been sewn together. They've decided to rebel against him because they didn't really like being sewn astronaut.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, astronaut is no way to go.
There's no way to be sewn.
So your site is i-mockery.com, i-mockery.com, and that's the letter I. And that's one of the things that you do on that site is you create online player games, right?
Yeah, we make a lot of Flash parody games. We've got games like Ivan Drago, Justice Enforcer, where he's like taken to the streets and fighting crime, you know.
So, I like it.
Awesome. So when you came up with the centipede idea, how long does it take to build something like that?
It actually only took us under 2 weeks. I mean, my friends and I, we went to see the Human Centipede premiere here at the New Art Theater in Los Angeles. And that very night, I got home after we had joked about, you know, game at the theater. And I started thinking about it. And I just played Centipede earlier in the week. So one of my buddies, Jacob West, who's the programmer on the game, we just started working on it right away. And less than 2 weeks later, Human Centipede, the game, was born.
and by the way, and then the internet just blew up, not only for guys like us who have talked about the show on the movie on the air, who got, you know, dozens of emails from people who said, oh my God, you can't believe there's a Human Centipede game, but all over the world, the ripples of that work that you put into it were felt immediately, right?
Oh, yeah. I was really surprised, actually. I mean, we at best, we were hoping, you know, that the game would, you know, make its way to the people who made the film, but it just got everywhere. It was in the New York Times, it was in LA Weekly, Tosh.0's blog. Fangoria, IFC wrote about it, everything. So it was really good. But the biggest, like I said, the biggest surprise was having the filmmakers actually talking about it on Twitter and whatnot. Dieter Laser, which is the greatest name in the world, by the way, he's the star of the movie, the mad scientist guy, and he was saying that it was a wonderful game. And Akihiro Kitamura, who's the he's the front of the centipede.
He's the head. Yeah, he's the head.
I think that would be my choice. If I had to choose, I think I'd want to be in front.
You know?
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? That's the only position out of all of them, if I had to.
And you do have to see the movie, by the way, Kevin. If you haven't seen the movie, it's not nearly as bad as people are saying. I mean, in concept, it's you know, gross, but they don't show nearly as much as from what I hear in the sequel they're planning on showing a lot more and making a 12-person centipede. So maybe that's
yeah, the director who we had on the show has said that this is the first sequence, is what he calls it. The second sequence of the Human Centipede is going to make the first one look like My Little Pony, is what he told the New York Times.
Oh, no thanks.
But it's, I mean, it's terrifying, but it's really like a psychological kind of terror when you put yourself in their shoes. But it's, I mean, it's not nearly as gory as like the Saw movies or something like that, right, Roger?
Right, yeah, and the director said he basically made this first one to get people used to the idea of a human centipede, and the second one is where he's, I guess, going to really try grossing people out.
Oh, man.
Well, the game is hilarious, and, you know, just like Google was responsible for, you know, tanking the U.S. economy when they put that Pac-Man up a couple of Fridays ago, I bet there's been more than a few man hours wasted from people playing your human centipede game online as well.
Oh, I like to think so. I like to think about, you know, people being paid to be at work and at their job, you know, in their cubicles. They're spending their time shooting up people who are connected ass to mouth. That's a pretty good
exactly. All right. Roger Barr, one of the creators of the Human Centipede Game. Again, the website is theletteri-mockery.com if you want to play it and see everything else they got going on there. Roger, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, man.
Thank you, and we're going to be at the San Diego Comic-Con, actually, this summer, so if anyone's coming there, they can see some of the other games we're working on.
All right. There
Fantastic.
You go.
Have fun, dude. Thanks.
That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 941.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the final Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, I just want to thank our listeners who are just so nice. Look what I just got in the mail from my baby girl, Olivia. It's a little onesie.
Oh, my God.
See what it says on that onesie?
That's awesome.
It says, damn you, Sharktopus.
Sharktopus!
So when I sit down with my little girl to watch the premiere of my new movie, Sharktopus, on the Sci-Fi Channel, she can see her daddy starring in Sharktopus.
How cool is that?
Just want to thank the listener who sent that. It was very cool. Speaking of which, you know, every once in a while, I know we're running short of time, but I like to pose a question, a thing that makes you go, in the words of Arsenio Hall.
Ooh.
I posed where do flies go at night? Remember that one? That was a huge debate we had
great
on that.
Question.
Yes.
Why aren't there more dead birds? Was another one I was perplexed by.
Birds, right?
So many birds in the sky. How come there's no dead birds just littered all over the ground? We came to the bottom of that one. What do babies dream of? Because when you think about it, when we dream about stuff that we have experience with, right? Things that we've seen or experiences that we've had. We dream about being back in high school. Last night I had a very vivid dream while I was a cast member of Troll 2, and I was signing autographs at NilbogCon 2010. Very vivid dream, because right. I'd seen that movie and I had me thinking about it. Babies got nothing. They're a blank slate. They have no experiences. They can't see nothing. Everything's right. dark to them. What do they dream about when they dream? What do they?
I don't think we're going to find the answer to that.
Boy, I love that darkness. Boy, that placenta was cool. Oh, how about that umbilical cord? Wasn't that awesome? What do they got? They got nothing to draw on. They have no bank of dream
material.
Well, I don't know. I've often wondered the same thing about blind people, what their dreams must be like without the visuals to accompany. You know, a lot of curiosity in dreams, but I don't think we know a way to figure out the answers to that, Ralph.
Well, I'm going to ask my baby when I get home what she dreams about.
Good luck with that.
Well, she is talking now.
I'm
so
thinking it's
news.
The Philadelphia Flyers winning the Stanley Cup. That's what she's going to be dreaming of. Because, you know, that's all she talks about at home.
Game 3 is tonight. What?
That's
she's 2 months old.
She talks about at home to my wife. Is really? The Flyers, this Flyers. She's memorized every single Flyer player, knows their jersey numbers.
What?
Can't get enough of the
that's
Flyers.
That's ridiculous.
That's why I brought in the video. Here's the audio from the video.
Wacko Flyer, bomb, 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 bomb.
Who's number 45?
Asham.
48?
Gabriel.
Number 13?
Marcelo.
Number 28?
Carwell.
Number 19?
Scotty Hartnell.
Scotty
Hartnell.
Number
25?
Matt Carwell.
Matt Carwell.
What color is the Flyers?
Orange and black.
Wow. Orange and black. See, she knows.
2 months old.
Girl knows.
That's advanced.
Impressive.
Yeah. She's going to grow up to be a thug, though, don't you think?
Yeah. She will be a brawler.
She's already Flyers fan at 2 months old.
She will be a Broad Street bully, that's for sure. Big news all over the Twitterverse and the Facebookverse. Donald Glover, star of Community, which also stars our buddy Joel McHale, wants to audition for Spider-Man. He wants a shot at being Spider-Man. He loves Spider-Man and wants to play him in the new rebooted franchise that Sony's doing. So there is a bunch of groundswell, for this grassroots viral campaign on Twitter and Facebook that he has started. There's several sites on Facebook, including Donald Glover should be Spider-Man, and the last thing Spider-Man should be is another white guy. Is that the title of another page?
Ralph, excuse me for interrupting, but after the Betty White Saturday Night Live thing, is this the only way actors get cast for roles anymore? There's no such thing as you come in and you audition for a role anymore? It can only be done through social media?
Look, that's a great way to get people's attention.
I'm going to start Betty White should be Spider-Man. Start that today.
Right, I like it. So it's starting a big debate. Could a
prominent superhero character that has traditionally been portrayed as white for the past 60 years or 40 years or 50 years, how long Spider-Man's been around. Could he be played by a black actor, and would everyone just be okay with it? Just turn a blind eye, so to speak, and just enjoy it for what it is?
I'm not a comic book guy, and it wouldn't bother me at all, but maybe it would if I was a comic book guy.
Look, let me tell you about the comic book fans. They get upset if Wolverine's costume hasn't had the same leather gauntlets that he wears in the book.
I mean, you should only go so far.
The fanboy, you're never going to make them happy. But I just wonder, in general, would the general audience be cool with something
bother
like
me.
That? So, wait and see.
Rather have that than emo Spider-Man.
However, there was a black Spider-Man in the last Spider-Man movie, and it sucked.
Yes.
Remember Topher Grace? Was that black Spider-Man? Was all around with the big fangs and everything? I guess it would probably be different.
Yeah.
Having a black actor.
I would think so.
Look, the character's got a mask on 99% of the time anyway, right?
Yeah, I don't...
So Spider-Man, really...
I don't think I would think of it.
You wouldn't know he's black until he's Peter Parker.
Why are they rebooting a franchise that seems like it's been a couple of years since the last movie came out anyway?
Lots of reasons that we don't have time to get into here. But parts of it is finances. They can't spend another $30 million to get Tobey Maguire back, whatever they don't want to. They think they need a fresh take on it. They want to go back to the origins of the character, which was when he was in high school, to kind of get a younger audience to latch onto the Spider-Man mythos. And there's a bunch of reasons. They had a problem with the scripts for the fourth one. They're just going to go back, and they're going to start all over again.
It's crazy, all these rebootings that are going on.
It's the latest trend.
There's an article in The Weekend. You probably saw it, Ralph. They're talking about rebooting Alias on television.
Yeah, I know.
What's the deal here?
Who's going to be cast in it?
A show used to be on, and then it was off, and then it was gone.
Black dude. Why can't Sydney be a black dude? That's what I want to know. Congratulations to Jane Lynch, who, of course, plays Sue Sylvester on Omar's favorite TV show, Glee. She and her partner, psychologist Laura Embry, got married Monday at the Blue Heron Restaurant in Sunderland, Massachusetts, which overlooks Sugarloaf Mountain. Ah, my favorite Neil Young song, Sugarloaf Mountain.
There is no such thing.
Sugar Mountain.
They got married in Massachusetts because they can. It's legal there, and it's not legal here in California where the couple lives. So, congratulations.
Jane Lynch had a statement if you'd like to hear it.
Oh, I'd love to.
I hear people say, that's not how I define marriage. Well, to them I say, love knows no bounds. Why can't people marry dogs? I'm certainly not advocating intimacy with your pets.
What?
I, for one, think intimacy has no place in a marriage. Walked in on my parents once, and it was like seeing two walruses wrestling.
Oh,
so, woof on Prop 15, Ohio. And that's how Sue sees it.
There you go. Woof on Prop 15.
All right.
Why do the Mexicans hate Paul McCartney?
I didn't know they did.
Oh, they hate him.
More than us white guys do?
Apparently, Paul's tour bus was attacked in Mexico City recently. They were driving through a particularly rough area of Mexico City, which is known as Mexico City. A large group of thugs forced the bus to stop, climbed on top of the bus, started to rock the bus back and forth and jump up and down on the roof.
That could happen anywhere.
Until authorities finally showed up and chased them away, chased away the Mexican thugs. Paul and his band were apparently more than a little shaken up by the whole thing, but Paul said he's just glad no one was hurt.
Were they doing any of those crappy Beatles songs?
He may have been doing that Freedom song. That might.
He
played the show in Mexico City and then at two sold-out concerts and then was just driving away and the bus got attacked. It's a little scary.
Sure.
It's like something out of a science fiction movie. The crowd just comes pouring out of alleys and starts rocking your bus. And MIA is back in the news. She's making trouble everywhere she goes.
Oh, what?
Well, she's got some interesting takes on things. For example, she claims that Google, Facebook, and other websites, other social websites, were created by the CIA to keep track of us.
Good
morning. You know, she is.
Okay. So, to keep track of our public, our personal information.
Exactly. This is how they keep tabs on us. She also says that she can't watch Justin Bieber's videos because they're an assault to her eyes. All right. Well, she's got something there. That's valid.
Lisa May.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here.
Speaking of salt in your eyes.
No, not salt in your eyes.
It's an assault to her eyes.
It's an assault. It's very different.
He'd do that too. What are you kidding?
Good point.
Today's celebrity birthday is drummer Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones is 69 years old today.
69?
Yes, that's right, Doc. Dennis Haysbert, Very talented actor from 24. Also does those Allstate commercials. Do you ever see the outtakes from his Allstate commercials?
No.
No.
Oh, you got to find one on YouTube.
Really?
They've got one reel of outtakes from one Allstate commercial that he was doing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is he like the Winnebago man?
No. But they started shooting the commercial during the daylight.
Right.
They finished the commercial at night.
Really? Is he me?
Oh, my God.
He may have some troubles with his lines.
Awesome.
We got to find that. It's very entertaining. Dana Carvey from Saturday Night Live and from Wayne's World is 55 years old today. Be Real of Cypress Hill is 40. Wayne Brady celebrates his 38th birthday. Wentworth Miller from Prison Break is 38 as well. Zachary Quinto, speaking of reboots, he was the new Mr. Spock in the Star Trek reboot, which I think may be the most successful of all the reboots.
Yeah.
Except for maybe, you know, the Bond franchise, but that was sort of, that's a regular occurrence over there. But the new Star Trek I thought was great. He's 33. Nikki Cox, actress and wife of our buddy Jay Moore, is 32 years old, as is Justin Long, and Fabrizio Moretti of The Strokes.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
Different Strokes.
He was on Different Gary Strokes?
Oh, Gilligan, we'll never get off this island. Fabrizio is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have David Koechner in the studio, comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. Very funny. We have Russell Brand on the program tomorrow talking about Get Him to the Greek. We have Aaron Paul on the show tomorrow from Breaking Bad, which is a fantastic TV show. We have Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. And we have Weenie Roast tickets and backstage passes for you as well on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow.
Sweet. Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Hey, Grandpa Simpson, what kind of songs are you going to be playing coming up next?
Well, I'm going to be playing Sublime, Not the One with Room.
That's right. Also, some Bob Marley, that other song, Papa Roach, Phoenix, and more. Straight ahead right after this on Good Old K-Rock.